is the Don and Mike Show. Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Ah, we call it Buzz.
Hey, Buzz.
Hey,
I got it.
Hey.
Look at him trying to be nonchalant about it.
No headphones on, like Dr. Johnny Fever.
Yeah. I got a lot of problems.
Gotcha. I know.
Would you like a few moments on the couch, Buzz?
No, I'm fine.
You okay?
No, I'll be all right.
You sure?
Yeah.
He's a man with a lot of problems.
Well, you know, everybody's got problems.
True.
But when they're mentioned on this show, then we know that they're significant.
Well, a lot of them are internal.
You know. Like internal organs?
Internal, well, no.
Internal bleeding?
Mentally.
Oh.
You know.
Well, that's what problems are, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. You want to talk about it?
That's what I just said. You want to pull up a piece of the couch?
Not right now.
Okay. You know what might help? Let your shoulders soften.
Let me try that. It didn't work.
He's trying it.
Yeah.
Did your shoulders even soften when he said that?
Not really. No. I tried.
Sometimes they never do.
One of these days.
Yeah.
And one of these days, Buzz, you'll open up.
One of these days.
One of these days, you'll open up.
That's right.
How you feel, Buzz?
I'm all right. I'm good, actually. I'm glad to be here.
Here we are, the Noodle Men.
We're all glad to be here.
Some more than others, Buzz. I mean, I would agree we're all glad to be here.
Uh-huh.
But I think today... You're the winner, Buzz. You're the one who I believe, and I'll say this diplomatically,
mm-hmm.
for whatever reason today, here's Buzz's mindset. He finally escaped the prison that is his life,
and he
climbed over the wall and came to work.
As we all do from time to time, and
yes, correct.
On a fairly regular basis.
We do.
Correct.
Well, congratulations.
Love it here. You're among friends, Buzz.
I know, and I'm glad about that.
Good for you.
You know why we're lucky?
Good for you.
And I've said this to you before in confidence, is that no matter how bad things are, things will be okay when we get to work.
That's
usually.
Right. Yeah. Things are always okay at 3 o'clock.
Yeah, when we walk into this studio,
yeah.
I want to talk about a sanctuary.
Tell me about it.
I mean, even from the work-related things that can be
That's
crazy
right.
sometimes. You walk in here, shut that door, normally everything's pretty good.
The He-Man Club, right, Buzz?
That's right.
Yeah, here we are, the He-Man.
That's right.
The He-Man Club.
That's right.
Okay, well, as long as you are under control, Buzz.
I'm good to go.
Okay, all right. Well, you know, you're the one, we just turned the microphones on. And,
uh-huh.
Right. And
I didn't have my headphones on, but I was with you.
You were a little laid back there.
Yeah.
Let me see what I've got here.
Something from one of your prepared texts?
No, no, I do not, Mike. I have something.
You don't have
this
today?
Audible.
Hi, this is Larry King.
I've got this.
That's good stuff.
This is going to be over today's show, and we won't get it all in today.
Right.
This is going to be maybe like over three or four shows.
Good.
Larry King's new book on tape, Why I Love Baseball. A brief summarization of the book, I've listened to it.
Right.
It is the laziest book ever written.
Mm-hmm.
In this book... And it's even lazier when you could, at least when Larry read the book on tape, he had to read it.
Right.
When he wrote it, I don't want to say he plagiarized, but he recites lyrics to songs about baseball. He takes an entire article by an author named Bob Green about why baseball is better than football.
Mm-hmm.
He reads quotes from baseball players. He reads passages where he got friends to write letters saying how much Larry King loves baseball. It's
a lot of filler from other people.
I've never seen the guy like baseball as much as Larry King likes baseball.
So he's not so much an author as a compiler.
And the filler stuff in between is the best stuff. And it's all like Hank's thoughts.
Right.
Like, for instance, it's like, I really loved the old English D on the Detroit Tigers uniform.
Yeah.
It's full of stuff like that.
This is Audible.
Hi, this is Larry King, and I'm proud to present my newest book on audio. It's Why I Love Baseball. So New Millennium Audio presents Larry King, Why I Love Baseball.
Now, we've got many, many topics that we can cover on the first chapter or three or four today. We have the opening of the book, the dedication to his sons.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Considering suicide, actually Larry being witty. He's mad at his dad for dying.
Mm.
He's too poor to buy tickets to baseball.
Mm-hmm.
He talks baseball every day, loves the crowd, loves the food. Why is the game so important?
Yeah.
As a Jew, Larry always roots for the Jew.
Mm-hmm.
Sandy Koufax is a friend. I mean, these are his,
I'm interested in the Sandy Koufax.
These are his words, not mine. As a Jew, I always root for the Jew. That's one of the chapters in the book.
Very good.
Betting in high school, matzah and chicken fat sandwiches. Larry gets into baseball fights. Larry talks baseball with his brother Marty.
Marty Zeiger.
Hi, Marty. Larry checks the box scores before a story about sex. His favorite baseball things, baseball magazines he likes, what his friends say about baseball, why Bob Uecker is so funny.
Chicken fat.
Hi. Here we go. Larry. Well, baseball. Baseball is fantastic.
The book is dedicated thusly. In all our lives, there are hits, strikeouts, and the occasional home run.
Hey, good audio on that.
This
yeah.
book is dedicated yeah. to my two young sons, Chance King and his brother, Cannon King.
Cannon Edward King.
Cannon and Chance.
Once again, no reason to acknowledge the other Steve.
No, right. no need whatsoever.
The other Steve that you've sired from the other tired cow.
That's right.
Two of the cherished home runs of my life.
Oh, God. So anyway, jeez. I've got that. I wanted to start with that.
Was that on CD when you received it? Because
yeah.
the quality is just striking.
I'd like to say...
It will amaze you.
It's a chance and cannon.
The other thing.
You are the home run of my life. I'm about to go away for a long time.
More chicken fat, Mr. King?
Please.
Chicken, you like chicken fat?
On matzo, please.
Matzo and chicken fat sandwich.
I always root for the Jews. Hello.
Sandy Koufax.
Hank Greenberg. Go, Hank Greenberg.
The humor of Mr. Bob.
Yeah, nobody like him. I love the food.
Cooperstown, Donna Cooperstown.
The chance and cannon. I'm about to go away.
Bye.
We won't be seeing the high school graduation.
That is taking a nap.
He's going far away.
Is there a chapter called I'm Living in the Bottom of the Ninth?
Chapter one.
With two outs.
October 3rd, 1951 was the saddest day of my life.
Why, Larry?
On that afternoon at the Polo Grounds in New York City, Bobby Thompson hit the shot that was heard around the world.
Shut up, Larry.
He homered off Ralph Branca in the bottom of the ninth inning.
Hold on, let me get to a good part here.
And he sounds particularly old, doesn't he?
He does.
Well, I can start the show. We'll do this, but let me just play a little bit of this. Chapter four.
As a Jew, I always root for the Jewish baseball player.
Thanks, Larry.
I think everyone instinctively does this. Blacks tend to root harder for the black players. The Irish Catholics usually root harder for other Irish Catholics.
That's much like Jimmy the Greek sentiment, isn't it?
Yeah.
Black root for blacks, Irish Catholics root for Irish Catholics, and Jews root for Jews.
Yeah, he's old.
Hank Greenberg of the Detroit Tigers was a ball player to die for. He almost broke Babe Ruth's record. We all swore that nobody wanted to pitch to him the last 2 weeks of that season because they didn't want a Jew to hold the home run record.
Oh, my. Larry. Opinionated Larry.
He is opinionated.
He talks baseball every day.
I slip it on to the left. I try to walk like him. Try to bat like him.
Hi.
Oh, hold on.
Hi, Larry.
I'd like to dedicate this to Cannon and Chance. Daddy's about to leave.
But DeRocha said it was about 5 games a year. Over the course of 162 games, that may not sound like much, but a lot of pennants are decided in 5 games a year.
Let's go back to the Jewish part. That might be the funniest part.
Hank Greenberg.
Chapter 4.
Yeah.
As a Jew, I always root for the Jewish baseball player.
Larry King.
Okay.
Don and Mike.
Hey now.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
There we are. There you go. Hey, Julia.
Those guys.
Come on, your uncles.
It's a true story.
Right.
With a neo-Nazi.
Yep.
One true enemy.
Yep.
Himself. Mm-hmm. A man of faith. A man of hate. And a soul torn apart. Viewer discretion advised.
They had never rooted for Hank Greenberg.
I know they didn't.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Alfred Yankovic and all the ships at sea. Hey. They'll still be here. after we send the herd. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Hello.
Send the herd.
Wow.
Don and Mike show, new episode on this Tuesday 05/11/04.
Hi, Don and Mike. Buzz Burbank here.
There you go.
Buzz Burbank for... What's the thing that you take when you're... there's so many of them now. They all cause diarrhea.
Levitra.
And sexual... No. He doesn't need that.
Viagra.
No. Not what
Xanax.
Yeah. What's the one that if you're all... When they say... Are you depressed? It's
well,
it's a commercial that it sounds like anybody's life because it says, do you have moments when you're depressed?
Mm-hmm. Prozac.
Do you have moments when there are times when things seem insurmountable to you? Are there times when you shut your eyes and you don't immediately go to sleep?
Wake it in.
Try this.
Bex.
I think it's Bex.
Bex beer.
That's a beer. Right?
Or I can just come here.
That's mm-hmm. the beer. And listen, phone number, 877-365-3636 from anywhere in America. From Canada, please be calling 800-636-1067 in Washington, D.C. on WJFK FM. You can call us at 202-432-1067. Please, more workers at my house, please. And I have a request. If they could just... A little earlier.
What time they normally show up?
Well, these are different guys. And this morning they showed up at, yes, if you had 625 in your betting pool,
oh. You
are correct. Now, fortunately, I'm an early riser.
Yeah.
I was already up.
Good thing.
Wow.
Downstairs, open the door, three guys.
Yeah. Hey, L, we are here for the backyard.
The 620, huh?
625 a.m.
Why are they knocking on the door? If they got a, is it outdoor stuff?
Yes, the sun's up.
Oh, boy.
Sun's up. Good morning.
No need to knock. I guess they wanted payment.
No, I don't. You know, my wife handles that.
No, they wanted to disturb you, though.
Yes, just letting them know they're there, I guess.
And when I say my wife handles that, I mean my wife has relations with them.
Yes.
With all of the...
To pay for all the work that's done.
With all of the illegals that are they're out digging holes in my backyard.
What the hell?
So, yeah, that's a nice way to start the day. 6:20 a.m. And the jackhammers were going... I'm not kidding. The jackhammers in my...
Jackhammers?
In my backyard were going by 6:40 this morning.
Sounds like you got to make... Is this another major project?
Who knows?
You don't keep track anymore, do you?
No, I do not. More important things to worry about, such as tonight's show.
Mm.
Listen, nobody cares about Dick Van Dyke except... Because I think it is the greatest TV show ever. Even better than American Idol, how good it is. And what they're doing tonight is they're putting together a return to the Dick Van Dyke Show. And Mary Tyler Moore, who in the day was beautiful, has had, you know, that Maria Shriver pulling back her face thing.
Yeah, where the teeth slowly but surely are the only feature that's noticeable on the entire head. Yeah.
And Dick Van Dyke still looks the same. He's got his big fake Regis dentures, but he pretty much looks the same.
Rosemarie does not look the same.
She's lovely. She looks like she's on steroids. Like when she was in that movie with Dickie Roberts.
Right.
I'm sorry, David Spade.
David Spade is not Dickie Roberts.
Call him Dickie Roberts.
She's the only one I saw. You know, when you see publicity photos for a television show in the newspaper, that normally is airbrushed. It's they get people looking the best they possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
They even did a good job with Mary Tyler Moore. I thought she looked good. There's a good picture of those two together. Rosemarie, I believe there's some issues there.
The David Spade movie, I don't remember the name. It's the one where he loses his dog and then the hot girl, they're in Miami together.
Lost and Found.
Lost and Found.
I mean, she's overweight. She's gained a lot of weight since then, but... There's something more at play there, and it seems to do with the lazy eye.
And she's puffy.
She's puffy.
She's way hot as ever. She's way puffy. And everybody else from the show is dead. Basically, what this is a giant self-pleasuring 60 Minutes for Carl Reiner.
Right.
The guy
Billy Helper and Jerry Helper. They're both still alive.
No,
right?
Jerry Paris is dead.
Regretfully,
who's,
he is.
Who's
passed.
The guy that's with Millie? Then there's some guy
that must be the guy that's given her the what she needs because Jerry Paris is dead.
Yeah, the thing about
who was Jerry Helper?
The still picture that I saw, it was a picture of Millie Helper and some guy standing next to her who I didn't know. You know the show, you'd probably know better.
Was it Jerry Van Dyke?
It was not. No, Jerry Van Dyke
tonight.
Jerry Van Dyke.
Yeah. Oh, hey, did you got Tom Shields?
You've read the reviews, then.
Would you give me the poll for a second?
Oh, dear. Sad.
No, it's got one line.
One sentence.
One sentence.
The reviews have not been kind.
It's sad. No. You know, the review for the show in general stinks.
Is there something bad about Jerry in there?
Yeah.
You know, that's the only reason you're reading it. You wouldn't say anything bad about
now,
Dick.
No, of course I would. Listen, no, I can't. Because who can, first, Mike, who can say anything bad about Dick? Who doesn't love Dick?
Huh? Well, is there a specifically bad thing about Jerry Van Dyke?
Yes, hold on.
I'm mad at Tom Shales forever if he's slamming Mike.
Let me just say, Tom Shales and all these other guys are right. You don't come back and remake a classic and do a half-assed job just because Carl Reiner wants the world to know that he still is alive.
That's what they're saying.
Just go ahead and die, Carl Reiner. But here's what it says. Blah, 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 blah. Something about Jerry. Let me see. Rosemarie returns, if not in precisely top or even recognizable form, so does Ann Morgan, who played the Petrie's neighbor, Millie, and is still an attractive comedic performer. More Amy Amsterdam, Richard Deacon, or blah, 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 blah. Van Dyke's awful brother, Jerry.
No!
Is wedged into the proceedings.
Prejudice.
No, that is terrible.
There you go, Mike.
Next time we talk to Shales.
There you go.
Look at that.
Gone to the higher authority.
I'll need to review that entire review.
Go ahead. It's like the third paragraph from the bottom in today's Washington Post.
Tom Shales,
his awful brother Jerry.
Oh, see, he was just against him from the beginning.
See, we don't have to defer to a higher authority now for our annual, semi-annual, every 3 year, like a cicada thing, which Van Dyke is better. Tom Shales, the arbiter, Tom Shales. You're reading it now like I was making it up. Look at him sitting there reading the newspaper. Are you down to the part yet where it says that he's awful?
Hold on.
Keep going. It's towards the end, like the last four paragraphs. Go three paragraphs from the bottom. Starts with, and his awful brother.
Do like I do.
That's
reading
all it is.
Awful brother Jerry's wedged into the proceedings.
That's it. But listen,
and gives a great performance.
It is a mistake to put this show on the air.
Awful brother Jerry is wedged into the proceedings, saving an otherwise dreary.
Oh, you are lying.
From brother Dick.
You are lying.
I think they left out a word. What it meant to say was awful talented brother. Because he am awful talented.
Anyway,
awful
that is
brother Jerry.
That's
Tom Shales. Come on. Don't you remember Coach?
I do. And doesn't Jerry Van Dyke have a successful something or other in Branson, Missouri now?
He's got a successful ice cream shop.
That's right. It's thriving.
And he's a spokesman for a. Brand lots, I think, which is like a...
Yeah, buy lots?
Yeah, buy lots. That's like a...
He's funny in those.
Cheap Kmart. A cheaper Kmart, I guess is what it is. Anyway, this whole Dick Van Dyke thing is a bad idea. It's a classic television show that ran for 5 years. They kept it on the air while it was... Unlike this show, they didn't keep going.
We don't...
Anyone to quit.
We don't have to have a reunion. We're still on.
But what they did that show for 5 years.
Turning pathetic before your very eyes.
They did the show. Speak for yourself, okay?
I'm kidding.
Speak for yourself, Mr. Ready to put the gun in your mouth, okay?
I'm kidding, of course.
The rest of us say it's a sunny, nice day.
Hey, but no, our business lends itself to these type of runs.
Yes.
You know, I mean, there are many radio shows that have been on for many, many years.
Do you think this will go over as well as Adam and Bert return to the Batcave? That was another wonderful effort. CBS company.
I think this will be worse than the Batman reunion was.
Because at least this has clips in it in the middle. Now, the Batman thing was all original.
I know it was, but still it's an awful idea. They shouldn't do it. And like I said, it's just this guy, Carl Reiner. And boy, would I just love to smack him. Just you know that he's not famous enough. He's not rich enough now.
I liked him in Ocean's 11.
Yeah, now
he was pretty good in Ocean's
11. Wouldn't you think he'd be happy with that? Somebody gave an old man a role.
You could look at Rob Reiner, and you can see the same thing. It's the ego. It's the ego where I watched Rob Reiner when they had the Friars Club roast, which was very, very funny. And Rob Reiner showed me that he believes his own press, and maybe Carl Reiner's doing the same.
You know who could really probably give you an insight is Dick Van Patten, because I think Carl Reiner still plays tennis there once a week.
Yeah, that's right,
Kelly.
That's a good point.
You call
Kelly.
Sure, well, yeah, place a call. I know you love any chance to call Dick Van Patten.
Of course.
Just see if he's at home, Rob. Hello, Kelly. This call is for Buzz, I believe. Hi, Kelly.
Hi.
Hi, you're on the air.
I heard you all talking about the commercial. I think it's Zoloft. Is it the one with the guy that looks like an egg that's crying?
Yes.
Zoloft.
Yes, that's the commercial. Thank you, Kelly. That's the commercial. And what a great description.
Also the scariest name for a drug, Zoloft.
Yes. The egg that's crying.
It sounds like an evil character on Harry Potter. Zoloft.
Yes.
Anyway, get Buzz. How many of those you need? 50, 70, 100 Buzz?
Like a fistful.
Give him a fistful of those.
but not before he has his egg. Buzz is also now playing with his he's playing with his egg.
Well, she mentioned it.
Welcome to the present of the planet of Zoloft.
Now, made funnier by the Infinity Lawyers.
Hold on.
It's the Don and Mike Show.
Oh, thank you, dude. I see you moved it to the other way. I see.
Chapter 4. As a Jew, I always root for the Jewish baseball player.
You know, maybe, I don't know if we do this, like, just jump in ahead to segments or we do it chronologically.
No, I think we hop all over the place. Because then, you know what? Then if they get hinky with us, we say, well, we just were all over the place.
Because it is oh so boring. But I'll tell you this also, and it's unedited. Larry King drops the F-bomb.
Really?
Really? Are you reading the rest of that article?
I'm just skimming. I'm skimming to see if there's anything bad about Dick.
Mike,
you know, Shales dances around Dick Van Dyke.
Sure.
Very skillful, Mr. Shales. The only people that you personally attack is Jerry.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That was all a personal attack on one of the greatest comedic minds of our time.
Okay, all right. Liar. 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 The awful Jerry Van Dyke. Okay, let's.
And you know the thing is, here's the deal with that pathetic show, with that pathetic reunion show.
The Dick Van,
they bring Jerry in because Jerry's the only one that's done anything comedically.
Recently, Mike, you're wrong. First, it's a mistake to bring the show back.
Yeah, like when you get really upset.
First, it's a mistake to bring the show back.
And then Jerry tried to help prop it up.
Second, no. Go back in the day.
He was never really a part of the.
Go back in the day, and when Jerry Van Dyke was a struggling retard like he is now, his handsome, talented brother Dick said, "I'll give you a spot on my highly rated television show," and wrote him into a couple of episodes as his retarded brother Stacy Petrie.
Jerry Van Dyke's TV solo career speaks for itself as well.
Sure.
Fabulous performance on Coach.
Sure, let's line the shows up next to each other. The Dick Van Dyke Show against Coach. Or let's stop and put Coach against anything
car
like...
Car 54, where are you? Was he on that?
No, my mother so. The car.
My mother the car.
Mother. Jerry Van
you don't even know your own guy's biography.
No, I don't.
You don't even know his biography. And then, you know, if you really want to get serious, I don't think we've ever gone down this road.
Right.
I'm going to have to throw in Mary Poppins.
Oh, wow.
I got to toss that in.
I'll help you out in Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, too, which I watched with my kids the other night.
Yeah. And how can you say Jerry's the better Van Dyke?
You know what? I'll maintain my stance on this, that I've always said that... That Jerry is funnier than
no,
Dick.
No, he's not.
But I do believe that Dick is more talented.
You know...
Clever.
I'm not trying to be clever. I'm telling the truth. Okay, we've had these arguments before where we never yield. I'm yielding, and I'm telling you, I do believe... Because recently I sat down with my kids, and I watched Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, and Dick Van Dyke had a unique way of performing that I enjoy, and I still enjoy watching
Dick
it.
Dick Van Patten told you guys this, that Jerry was more fun to be in a room with, but that Dick was funnier.
Oh, I maintain that.
Yeah. Let me just say that, Mike, who's more talented?
I said that Dick Van Dyke is more talented.
I think we can officially drop this.
No. You
we can
not.
Officially
stop
drop
that.
This. Thank
stop
you.
That.
Thank you.
You are claiming victory when
no,
there
I'm
is
not.
None. Jerry Van Dyke is funnier than Dick Van Dyke.
Who's more talented?
I've always said that. That's
who's
not the
more,
argument.
It's who's
not,
more talented?
You go back in our annals.
Who's
you go back in our argument.
Who's more talented?
Who's funnier?
Who's more talented, though?
Who's funnier? I'm asking you.
Dick Van Dyke. Who's more talented?
See
what you want
you
me
to argue. You
want me to give
fighting
that
with you is like fighting with an eighth grader.
Wait, no, hold on. Thank you.
You
want me to like
the
you,
argument has always
you,
been.
You threw that out. I'm supposed because you say finally.
You play after, the Alleluia. I mean, my God.
I'm telling you, the argument has never ever been.
You said Dick is more talented. I've never Derek. Said talent. It is funnier. Who's funnier? That was the argument.
Yeah, but you just threw in. Hey, and incidentally, Dick Van Dyke's more talented.
I think
you just threw it in.
I think I've thrown that in before.
I don't think I've ever heard it before.
You'll never hear it again.
Hey. Anyway, listen, they're both up S Creek without a paddle.
Yeah.
You know, they're both right now, they're both just...
Jerry's not up S Creek without a paddle. He's got a very successful business career.
His ice cream store. You have a more successful restaurant career than Jerry Van Dyke.
Look around, Cafe.
We do not know the details on Jerry's ice cream parlor.
I think we do because the fact that it was.
I think he's got several.
It's a story that we had on the news like once 5 years ago, and since then I've just seen him in those low rate commercials for the buy the TV that's no longer in stock anywhere.
I think he's happy.
I agree.
And I think Dick is probably happy, too.
I would agree that they're both happy.
They should be.
Dick's happy because he can go to sleep every night knowing
he's funnier than Jerry.
No.
And even now, at their advanced ages, as they approach 80, even now, it's the same pattern.
I would venture to say, if you go back and watch
Jerry.
That, are you going to watch that reunion show tonight?
Of course.
You know you'll probably get a chuckle as soon as, you'll probably smile as soon as Jerry comes on camera.
I probably will, but can I tell you something else? I used to smile every time Corky came on. Okay?
Okay.
Whatever works.
I can accept that. I can accept all that.
Okay. Then that's for you. See, I don't just play it for myself.
You only play it for yourself.
No, that's for you because I said something that you smiled when I said that. Like you had made a point. That Jerry's retarded. Just like Corky.
Wish I had that. I like that. It's just like the sound of triumph. The sound of triumph that he played for himself.
Yeah, but it's the sound of triumph in a worthless argument by two worthless dopes.
Yeah, but all of our arguments are worthless. But it still means they're fun.
Anyway, I stand behind Dick.
Even with the reunion show?
Yes, he needs the money. I'd say do it. Go ahead, Dick.
Sure.
It ain't like Hollywood's beating down your door. At least you're not like your deadbeat brother.
Hey, would you like a milkshake?
So go ahead, take it. Trade on your good name one more time. And while you're at it...
I hope it's not sad, but it will be.
It'll be awful.
It's going to be sad.
It'll be awful. Yeah. It's going to be the worst.
God, I hate it when they do that.
Yeah.
Me too. Just leave it alone. I don't think it's Dick Van Dyke. I don't think it's Mary Tyler Moore. I don't think it's Jerry Van Dyke, who I don't think is awful. I think he's mediocre. I don't think he's awful.
Well, Shales, you know, how can I argue with the guy in your camp? If anything, you should play that Alleluia for the fact that that our good friend Tom Shales,
agreed.
Personally, something he doesn't even do to Kathy Lee Gifford.
Right.
It's always about the work. It's not about the individual.
Right.
Awful. But Tom,
awful.
I demand from Tom Shales.
Keep demanding.
A retraction.
Good keep demanding, you, Mike.
An apology.
Keep demanding.
Calling Jerry Van Dyke a man who is given and given and given.
And if you need proof of that, check out Coach. I think it's on TBS like every 5 minutes.
That show doesn't become a hit without Jerry Van Dyke.
It would be empty without
him.
The comic foil.
Oh, there are three.
Are you going to tell me Craig T. Nelson carried that show?
How do you spell comedy? I spell it Craig T. Nelson.
You think that other tar, that blonde-haired guy did it? No way. No.
Oh, the big tall guy?
Jerry Van Dyke.
The big loose guy.
Jerry Van Dyke owned that show. He did. Mm-hmm. He did. Tom Shales, shame on you.
Shame on you.
How dare you? I mean, just by awful in what regard, Tom?
Yeah. In every regard, Mike.
Personally, have you met the man?
It's me, Tom Shales. I'm being channeled through your buddy Donnie. Hi. It's me.
Yeah.
Yes, I've met him. He stinks. He has a weak handshake.
Well, the next time,
he has bad breath.
The next time we have Mr. Shales on this program, which may not happen before we get out of here someday, but I'll tell you, the next time we have him on the show...
Uh-huh.
I got a serious bone to pick with him.
Mike, we have, as a
Van
matter
Dyke
of fact,
bone.
As a matter of fact, we have a Tom Shales booked on the 27th of Never. He is booked to appear on the show. If we take a break now, it'll help us later in the show.
All right.
When we're running short on time.
Very good.
Please be reminded when we get back, we have to call the girl who's going out to be on the Ryan Seacrest TV show.
Yeah.
She's promised to scream something slightly
yes.
inappropriate on our behalf.
Very good.
In front of Tool Ryan Seacrest.
Good.
And Larry.
Like a love toy for your ears.
I'm sorry.
The Don and Mike Show.
I keep doing that. It's in machine number two. The operator error.
I think everyone instinctively does this. Blacks tend to root harder for the black players. The Irish Catholics usually root harder for the other Irish Catholics.
Uh-huh. That's right, Larry
King.
That's right. You're
yeah, that would be why Carl Yastrzemski is my favorite player.
Mm-hmm. Slip it on to the left. I try to walk like him, try to bat like him. Sometimes it looked like he would jump to hit a pitch, but he was the best, just the best.
What, Larry?
I remember Brooks Robinson, the legendary Oriole third baseman, telling me once how Casey Stengel, then the Mets manager, had told him before an exhibition game in Miami.
It sounds like he's already got the chalk at the corners of his mouth.
Doesn't it sound like he's like he's all stuffed up? He's got like a nasal problem?
I remember Casey Stengel saying
that Brooks was the second best third baseman that he, Stengel, had ever seen.
And
who was the best, Brooks inquired, and Stengel said, number three from Brooklyn.
And then there was that awful Jerry Van Dyke. Yeah, this is Larry King.
Hello, Karen?
Yes.
Hi, you're on the air, Karen.
Well, two things. At least the commercials out here out west for
this reunion, Jerry Van Dyke gets higher billing than even Rosemary.
Of course. Does it say awful Jerry Van Dyke and beautiful Rosemary?
Beautiful Rosemary.
Also, the man standing next to Millie is the guy who played their son.
Oh, you mean little Ricky?
Yeah, Richie.
Richie, look.
It's Richie. And they show him.
Hold on a second. I'll just pull out something. Your name is Karen?
Yeah.
I'll give you
the theme song.
Yeah, right. Hold on. I'll give you I'm credit. He pulled it out 2 days in a row.
Thank you.
Hold on. Karen. For the second Karen. Remember Rob played that yesterday? We never heard of it.
Yes, for the other Karen.
Karen,
there she is. Anyway, Karen, so...
Yeah, and in this storyline, Richie lives in the New Rochelle home.
Oh, yes, because that when Carl Reiner goes to find Rob and Laura Petty.
So they're going to have the same set?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. That's
and then Rob and Laura live in this big, I guess, townhouse in Manhattan, large enough to have a ballet studio where she teaches kids ballet, and they show her in her tights.
And?
Dancing. Oh.
Is that not a pretty picture? Yeah, creepy, not a pretty picture?
Did you see her on The View this morning? They showed the clip.
Yeah. Do I sound like a housewife? No, I'm sorry, I missed that. I was watching the congressman yell at the generals on TV. But she was on The View.
And you did miss one other sad aspect of the special, is that it's introduced.
Oh, by Ray Romano.
Yeah.
Yeah, like what does he have to do with the Dick Van Dyke
show?
Well,
he's like Kevin James, where they're the CBS shills.
He's the whore.
Wow.
He'll do anything. He's the big CBS whore.
I was a kid, I really liked the show.
Hey, thank you for calling.
Thanks for the song.
Thank you. And your name again is?
Karen.
Call her Karen. Where are you from, Karen?
I'm in Northern California, not Sacramento.
Right on.
Karen!
All right, Karen, bye, honey.
Bye.
Bye-bye. We'll see you later. We'll be right back, everybody.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Sally? Hey, darling. How much longer do you figure to be working?
Until we get an idea, honey.
That's right. You'll be here from 10 to 12 years.
Yeah, Rob had opened his big mouth and said we'd write a show for Alan Brady while he's on vacation. Look at them all been resting.
You know, you should have let the network run that old movie like they wanted to.
I got it. An original idea. What's the one thing that's never been done on television?
You can't do that on television.
Oh, shut up. What is the one thing that's never been done on television?
Radio.
You want to do radio on television?
Yeah. I say we get a great old radio performer. We can build the whole show around him.
Oh, Rob, most people today couldn't care less about the radio personality.
Sally, I couldn't agree with you more. He's always talking about some radio star that I never heard of.
Oh, come on now. You can't tell me that everybody wouldn't love to see
The Don and Mike Show. God damn it. The Don and Mike Show.
Right, right.
Oh, yeah.
You know, here's something great about radio. I was playing this on my iPod this morning,
right,
when I was on the treadmill. And I don't even realize it now. I mean, I consciously do, but I don't subconsciously realize I'm playing the song on the radio now.
And that's exciting to you.
That's cool. That's something I love about radio. Back when I played records, the coolest thing was when you'd be done with your shift.
Right.
And you sign off and you leave and whatever the record is, and you get in your car. And you hear that record
on the radio
as you're driving away.
I played that.
No. It's the immediacy.
Yeah. It's very cool
of radio. That's fun. Coming up, remember the guy we had on maybe 3 weeks ago, the guy with the eBay wax museum of the awful country singers.
Yeah, not the awful country singers, but the awful dummies that.
Some of the singers were awful, but
some of the singers were very awful.
Many of the dummies were awful.
I'm just using
awful seems to be working its way in the show.
I'm just using that courtesy of Tom Chales. The dummies were awful.
They were awful, and he was selling them all, and he did say he might have one for us.
Mm-hmm. And he's coming on the show today because the eBay auction is closed.
He said he'd give us an update on what he was able to sell all of those wax dummies for.
He would have been on with us yesterday, except he was out scouting players with Tommy Lasorda, And apparently today, when he calls, whenever he calls us to tell us about the Wax Museum, he'll be again scouting players with Tommy Lasorda. I'm not making this up.
So he's plugged into baseball, too?
Who knows? Either that or Tommy Lasorda has a weird fixation with wax figurines of country music stars.
Well, this guy, I guess, has been in Nashville for a long time. Yeah. He was interesting, and he got the joke. So, I mean, it'll be interesting to see what he has to say.
So whenever he calls, he's got a slot today at some point on the show.
Wonderful.
Oh, and Tommy Lasorda. Yeah, we love Tommy Lasorda.
I think that is very, very bad for that man to make an accusation like that. That is terrible.
Tommy.
I have never, ever, since I've managed, ever told a pitcher to throw at anybody, nor will I ever.
Uh-huh. How you doing?
If I ever did,
yes.
I certainly wouldn't make him throw at a 130.
Oh, my.
Like Lafay or Bavacqua, who could hit water if he fell out of a boat. And I guarantee you this.
Wow.
When I pitched, and I was going to pitch against a team that had guys on it like Bavacqua, I'd send a limousine to get the sucker to make sure he was in the motherfucking lineup, because I kicked that sucker's ass any day in a week. He's a fucking motherfucking big mouth, I'll tell you that.
Harry, is he not?
Tommy,
he's not the guy from the Wax Museum.
God, back in the day.
And
I love that.
All of this Larry stuff, I've been wrapped up in Larry since. I've been listening to this Why I Love Baseball.
Yeah. Why I Love Baseball.
Was it last week? 2 weeks ago? I don't know. We did Don't Call Me Chief.
Right.
And now here's a true behind-the-scenes thing. Originally, was Tom and Robbie were going to do this thing. It was going to be Don't Call Me Mike.
Right.
Because your name is Mike, and your real name is Mike, and my real name is Mike.
Sure, exactly.
And anyway, when I started with Robbie, so people go to the drive-up window and say, you know, whatever, supersize that, Mike, and wait until somebody says, don't call me Mike. Well, at the last minute, I have a genius revelation, and I say, let's make it Chief, you know, and they call me Chief, because you're doing the
Chief,
Mr. Drysdale.
And we did Chief when we went out to Vegas. I don't know where it started,
but
we all called everybody Chief.
It's funny. But somebody called, and damn if I didn't go to David Letterman, the CBS.com thing, and they had done a bit called Don't Call Me Chief.
Really?
They did.
Oh, that's embarrassing.
They did, where they had a guy on the street just talking to people. Say, hey, Chief, what's happening? What do you think? What's happening, Chief? And it was like 3 years ago, but it's in the archives.
Oh, my God.
So we'll do it again today, because it's still a funny idea. It was still funny even if Letterman is. I don't care.
Right.
It was stolen, not intentionally stolen, but still.
Sometimes you can steal stuff subconsciously.
Mm-hmm. Either way, we'll try it again today, but I think we'll do it with my original thought, which was a name. Mm-hmm. I think the name should be Larry.
Right.
Because we're talking about Larry.
Yeah, and I think if you have a proper name, as proper as that can be, you know, you'll maybe get more of a response. We'll have to see. Don't call me, and don't you think we should have the proper pronunciation of the name? Don't call me Larry.
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 I'm Larry. Okay. This is my friend Karen.
Larry, Karen.
Hello, Larry.
Madge.
Anyway, that's coming after the guy from the Wax Museum with Tommy Lasorda.
Good.
We'll try Don't Call Me Larry with apologies to David Letterman. It was Don't Call Me Chief, but
great,
who cares? Like, this whole show's not a ripoff of David Letterman. For instance, do you remember last night when David Letterman read the letter? Hi, Dave. I was the winner of your On Air with Ryan Seacrest contest. No, this is original to our show.
Okay,
this is you. Dear Don and Mike, I was the winner of the On Air with Ryan Seacrest contest. I am a loyal listener of your show for 15 years. You told me you'd like me to ask Ryan Seacrest some questions on your behalf. I've since found out my itinerary. I think we read this letter last week.
Right.
I'll be flying to L.A. on May 19th, which is just about a week from now, and I'll be meeting Ryan Seacrest on the 20th, my birthday. Do you think you can get your list of questions from me by then? So let's call her. And it says, with heartfelt gratitude, Amy Amy... I don't want to say her last name, because I've already announced she lives next door to Eric Bickle.
Right.
Which is what she wrote in the letter.
Right. She announced that, actually.
She
pointed that out.
Yeah, P.S. I am Eric Bickle's next door neighbor. 94. Okay, and let's see if she's at home.
Yeah.
And
it's our chance to get close to Ryan Seacrest, which, you know, we've always wanted to do on this show.
Right. Seacrest out. No way. I Seacrest in. Got to get you into my life.
God, I just wish I could dress more like him. You can.
Yeah. When's that coming out?
The complete Ryan Seacrest line of clothing.
Hello? Tell her we're calling her. Tell her it's Amy, what's her name? We're calling about Ryan Seacrest.
Hi, Amy. We're calling you. It's Rob from the Don and Mike.
I only have one question that I want her to ask him.
What's that?
Why are you so pretty?
And my question, even with the FCC the way that it is, you can still ask it. Down there. Got hair?
You mean shaved or not? Or whether it's ever grown?
Manscaped? Or has he matured enough?
Right.
To where the first nubs have come
through? I think that's a fair question.
A legitimate question. You know what? There was one time you said that.
It was to Doris Roberts.
Yeah.
When you were saying something about how you wanted to be with her. Carnally.
And
I said, I think you said, would you make love to me? And I said, it's a legitimate question.
You said it the same way.
Yeah.
You said it the exact same way. All right. So you leave the message. What's her deal?
Oh, you got the machine. How would you know?
You got it. You don't know. So anyway, we'll have to come up with some questions for Ryan Seacrest.
Yeah.
And with all the commercials, you see this dumb commercial in the newspaper? Here's Simon.
I've seen that before.
I've not seen this ad before with Simon. Who on earth?
Talking cell phones.
Listen, I'm queer for American Idol, okay? I'm queer for American Idol like a 14-year-old girl. I'll watch it tonight. I'll vote. I'll be there every hour. But even I don't want the official American Idol phone, which, as you can see, has the only thing that makes it official, I would guess, is the fact that it has that little American Idol logo at the top.
Yeah, I am. But you have to understand that audience is so young.
And I guess on the screen, it's got the American Idol logo. It says,
you two can have a phone just like mine. This is the kind of phone that I use to call Paula when she's late for the show.
Inside scoop from Simon.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Just when you get this phone, personalized voice and text messages from the show's most outspoken judge. Now, how could that be? It can't be personalized that Simon Cowell would...
I'm getting one if he is on there.
That's what it says, Mike. It says...
I'm sorry, Mike can't come to the phone.
You know, we should find out if this is on the up and up. 1-866-3...
I think it's a great idea.
888-3...
Can we get Randy and Paula?
Our call right now.
Simon's always there, though, isn't he? Simon's the workhorse of that tribe.
Sorry, the producer. Number you have reached has been disconnected.
Simon Fuller's the producer, isn't he? He's one of them, but this Simon is...
Is Cowell the producer, too?
No, it's
the other Simon.
Cowell's not involved in the producer.
I thought he was. I thought he had a piece of that somehow.
American Idol phone and the Jay-Z Black phone. Please stay on the line. A customer service representative will be with you shortly.
Must have recorded that in the same studio Larry recorded
his
book.
Yeah.
I think Cal has something to do with their record deals.
Ah,
Fuller has the production and link to the show.
All right.
Take this part off the air.
Hello? Hello? Yes, hi, I'm calling about the American Idol phone. Hello, I have a question. The ad says, personalized voice messages from the show's most outspoken judge. Would he be able to say, hello, this is Simon Cowell. Joe Ardinger is not available right now. He sends a personal message regarding the show. Does he say my name? If I sign up for this Nokia phone, the ad says, inside scoop directly from Simon, personalized voice and text messages. That sounds to me like he says, that I'm not there.
You're not using your dumb voice.
I am sorry. I'm back to using my other voice. Hello?
Oh.
Actually, what? you're not sure of what?
He doesn't use the real names.
Are you pretty? Hey, would you come on the radio with me? We're on the radio. Would you come on the radio? Be a nice commercial for your company. How about it?
Come on.
Listen, come on now, come on, shoot.
What do you say, come on. Tell me about this phone. I might buy the phone, come on the radio. What do you say, honey?
Honey.
What do you say?
Hey, come on.
Okay, she says, okay.
Hey, sweet talk works.
All right. All right, there you go, here's my honey.
Hello.
Sir, hello. Hello.
Hello.
So, welcome to the show. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Does Simon say our name or not, if we want to...
Yeah, like if you buy one of these phones, will Simon say, John so-and-so is not in the house right now? Will Simon do that?
I'm sorry to say, sir, but I'm not sure he might know your all your names, but the messages will be personalized, and you'll be receiving the messages from him.
Where are you based? Where are you based now? Where is your operation located?
Illinois.
Does Simon do erotic messages? Like if I wanted him to say, if I wanted him to say something of a Randy nature,
something provocative,
would he say that for me? May I speak with Simon? Is he there now?
He actually, this is Mobile Music USA.
What?
Mobile Music USA.
Malibu Music USA.
USA. Mobile. Well, we're calling about the ad. You know, at least they haven't shipped this off to India. Like,
yeah, I mean, that's why I was calling. I was thinking maybe this
like
is...
Could you buy a plane ticket?
Are you really in Illinois, or are you based in New Delhi?
Hello?
Hello?
Ma'am?
Yes, we are based in Illinois.
Ma'am?
I don't buy it.
Which season of American Idol did you compete on?
I'm sorry?
What is the biggest city in Illinois?
Biggest?
Yes. What is the
biggest
largest
city in Illinois?
Yes, ma'am. The largest city in Illinois. It's traditionally known as the second city.
And the windy city.
Uh-huh.
Oh, what is it, Robbie?
And the city with big shoulders.
Mm-hmm. What would that city that you're in Illinois working for the indirectly Nokia phones?
What is the name of the city?
The biggest city in Illinois. Any idea?
Okay.
Pardon me?
Actually, I'm very new to this place. I just moved into this place, so I don't have any idea about it.
Honey, it starts with a C.
Yeah.
Ends with an O.
Oh.
Are you really in Illinois, or are you maybe in a foreign country?
There was even a movie with Richard Gere and Renee Zellweger that won the Oscar, and it was a movie based on that town. It was
not to mention a great band.
25 or 6 to 4, Saturday in the Park. How about Sammy Sosa? How about Da Bears?
What city do the Cubs play in?
How about the White Sox?
Are you there? Hello?
Yes, I am here.
What city in Illinois might we be talking about? Sing to me, darling. Sing it to me. What's the city? What's the city we're talking about? The city.
Let's give her a chance to answer.
Starts with a C.
Hello?
I'm sorry. I don't have an idea.
You don't have an idea. But you're in Illinois. You promise you're in Illinois?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Where are you at in Illinois? Can you tell us the town you're in?
Yeah, it's Chicago.
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 Can I tell anybody out there listening that this is the kind of all of a sudden everything combusting at once. Mm-hmm. This is the type of
spontaneous combustion.
Spontaneous combustion that will make Nokia stock go through the roof.
That's true.
When you realize when you call to buy the American Idol phone,
right,
that you're talking to someone
and you describe Chicago for the better part of 2 minutes, and then the person who is allegedly in Chicago doesn't know what city we're talking about.
In the state of Illinois. Darling, may I ask your first name?
My first name?
Yes, yes, ma'am.
Sarah?
Again, please?
Sarah.
Sarah Smiles.
Sarah Lee. Sarah, do you like American Idol?
Yes, I like.
Yes.
Who are you rooting for?
Sarah?
Yes.
Are you speaking to us on a Nokia phone? Is that the problem? Sarah? Sarah, do you think I should do you think I should buy the American Idol phone? I'm queer for the show like a 14-year-old girl, but I can't see buying the phone. I'm a 45-year-old man.
Who do you like better, Sarah, Fantasia, or LaToya?
Sarah?
A second.
Uh-huh.
Is this your first day on the job? Do you get paid on commission? Have you ever sold a telephone before to someone who's called this number in the newspaper?
Yeah, I have sold many telephones, but I'm sorry, this is the first time I'm getting a call like this. Maybe I'm talking to a person speaking like this. I'm pretty nervous.
Oh, you don't need to be nervous, please. Sarah.
Don't be nervous.
You're among friends here.
Tell us something now, Sarah, who's really not in Illinois. Probably might be in Africa, maybe Zimbabwe.
Never know.
Who knows? Might be in.
I'm betting on New Delhi.
Yeah. Cayman Islands, if she's lucky.
You never know.
Okay. Let me ask you a question, sir.
Yes, ma'am.
Where are you calling from?
Washington, D.C.
Our nation's capital.
Can I have your name, please?
Sure, my name is Don. Donnie. You spell it D-O-N-I.
Don?
D-O-N-I.
D-O-N-I?
Now, don't sign me up for anything. I'm not convinced I want to phone you.
Repeat the name back, will you?
Yes, it's Don?
No,
Donnie.
That's not correct. It's D-O-N-I. Repeat the name back, please.
Okay, D-O-N-I?
Yes.
That's D as in David, O-N-I?
Yes,
yes. Donnie.
Okay.
Donnie.
All right.
Donnie.
Okay.
It's my stage.
You can say Donnie. It's pronounced that way in certain parts of the world.
It's my stage
Donnie.
Name. My stage name, darling. What about when it says Simon ringtones that will make you cringe? What would the Simon ringtones that would make me cringe be if I was to buy the American Idol phone?
Can you play an example of them down the line?
Sarah?
Uh-huh.
You can? Okay, would you do that now then, please?
No, I'm sorry.
You just said uh-huh.
What? Oh, Sarah, now don't be nervous. Sarah, something tells me that you would probably be this way if you weren't talking to two DJs.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about your last big sale, the last phone you sold. Tell me how you did it. How'd you close that deal? Are you a United States citizen?
No, I'm not.
Well, we wish you good luck with that. Are you trying to do that?
No.
Oh, so are you an illegal alien? Are you an illegal alien? Darling, Sarah?
Sarah, don't be nervous, please.
It's okay, tell her.
We're here to help.
Could we have just uncovered some kind of, you know, one of these scandals that they're, like, doing, like, a primetime investigative thing on?
Not likely. Sarah, how many phones have you sold today?
Sarah?
Today just two.
Just two. And how many hours have you been working?
I'm working for the past 5 hours.
5 hours.
5 hours.
That's not good turnaround. Are you being held against your will? Are you making shoes at the same time?
And soccer balls?
No.
Sarah, you sold two phones in 5 hours, honey. That's like an awful percentage. You got to rent Glengarry Glen Ross.
ABC.
Always be closing.
Mm-hmm.
You've not tried to close me once. You've not asked me what who my current provider is, if I'm happy with their service.
Well, I think it's just the phone itself. It's not the service.
Right. I think it comes with service.
Yeah, no, it does.
What's the company?
Nokia. Free benefits with activation.
Well, Nokia doesn't offer
phone
service.
No. It's probably that mobile.
AT&T. AT&T.
American
Telephone
and Telegraph.
AT&T. Uh-huh. It says exclusive photographs sent to your phone. What exclusive photographs does Simon Cowell send me?
The exclusive photographs is taken on the set. The photographs of the contestants and the judges.
That's fantastic.
The cell phone.
Oh, that's exciting. I like that.
Would you recommend that phone?
Yeah, sure.
Why?
I'll definitely recommend.
Why would you recommend it? Hello?
Yes. This is a special signature product.
What?
And...
You ever been to Chicago?
Chicago?
You ever been there?
How's the weather in Chicago today?
Hey, what time is it where you are? That's the easiest way to
do it. Our time is 4 p.m.
See, in Chicago, darling, it would be 3 p.m.
Does this phone work in exotic foreign locations?
Sarah,
fascinating, isn't it?
It's been great talking to you, Sarah. How long have you been working for whatever company this is you're working for?
Mobile Music.
Mobile Music. How long have you been working?
It's been 1 month.
One month. How you like it?
It's cool. I liked it.
Oh, good
cool.
for you. Well,
it's cool.
It's been a slice of heaven talking to you, Sarah.
It's cool. I wish I could be your third sale of the day, but it doesn't do it for me. The American Idol phone doesn't do it for me because I don't believe I get a personalized voice message from Simon.
Is there anybody you'd like to say hello to on the radio, Sarah?
Anyone back in your home country? Any relatives you're trying to smuggle over? Anybody who might be in an inner tube on their way from Cuba? Sarah?
Okay.
Who do you look like?
Is that a real radio show?
Yes, this is a real radio show.
Yes.
Would you like to say hello to anybody on the radio?
Okay. To all my friends.
To all your friends? Anybody?
I won't say anybody's name.
And to our boss, Mr. Samir Bhatia, and Ms. Kelly.
Yes.
All right, good for you.
Oh, that's cool. Well, have you enjoyed your experience?
Yes, very much.
Well, God bless you real good, Sarah.
You want to say hi to the gang down at Ellis Island?
Sarah, have a wonderful day.
Yeah, you too. Thank you.
Good luck. Goodbye.
Bye,
Sarah.
Bye-bye.
Chicago.
There you go. She's going to hang up and...
How they say it.
Let's just wait for her to... There you go. That was calling an ad out of the newspaper.
Well, you know, I was telling you about my satellite TV when I was talking to New Delhi.
Yeah, right.
And it was a lot sharper, though.
Right.
A bit of a satellite delay on that phone conversation.
I believe so.
Yeah.
I don't believe she was in Chicago.
Me either.
I told you that would happen Saturday night.
Right.
Yes. I thought this was the right song to play with it. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Chicago!
George Michael!
I love that.
We weren't saying she was in Chicago. She said she was in Illinois. Mm-hmm. We asked her what the largest city was. She couldn't come up with Chicago.
We even said the Cubs. It's where the Cubs. I mean, we tried the Windy, the largest.
And we asked her what time it is. She said 4 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Well, correct, on the East Coast, it's 4:06.
Right.
But in the Central time zone, where Chicago is, it would be 3:06.
Very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Anyway,
we weren't able to really pursue our inquisition due to a perceived language barrier.
Anyway.
And the satellite delay.
Yeah. Good hire, Nokia.
Oh, well, I want that phone anyway.
I
got a big picture of Simon in the ad.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Did I not clearly explain the circle of trust to you, Greg?
Yeah, I think I got it.
Then is there something you want to tell me?
I don't think so.
See, if I can't trust you, Greg, then I have no choice but to put you right back outside the circle. And once you're out, you're out. There's no coming back.
Well, I would definitely like to stay inside the circle.
Well, then tell me the truth.
Jack, I don't know what we're talking about.
All right, now look, Father. I'm a patient man. That's what 19 months in a Vietnamese prison camp will do to you. But I will be watching you, studying your every move. And if I find that you are trying to corrupt my firstborn child, I will bring you down, baby. I will bring you down to Chinatown.
The Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Oh, Joe Theismann.
Don, Mike, both of you. Idiots.
Right.
Hypnolarious. The Don and Mike Show.
Every day this week, we're giving away a daily prize from that 70s show. From Wedding Gifts, based in the 70s, to a $500 American Express gift checks, courtesy of that 70s show on Fox. Eric and Don are getting married on the one-hour season finale of that 70s show. Fox, Wednesday, May 19th. Plus, all week, we're giving away WWE SmackDown prize packs. Friday, somebody wins a trip to WWE SummerSlam in Toronto, Canada, August 15th, 2004, courtesy of UPN.
All right.
Hey, Mike?
Yeah.
Yes, sir, Mrs. Shannon. Jennifer Lopez has reportedly received an engagement ring from Mark Anthony.
Really?
It was romantic. He got on one knee and asked Jennifer if she would be his future ex-wife.
Oh, there you go, Mr. Shannon.
Hello.
I'm Money Joe.
This is Scott Shannon.
And I'm Milburn Drysdale.
It's predicted ice cream prices will rise to record levels this summer. In fact, they say ice cream will be so expensive, it will be cheaper to drive on Rocky Road than to eat it. Oh, God.
Wow. Oh, wow, you really hit rock bottom there.
Democrat John Kerry blasted George Bush on health care yesterday. Oh, sure. Kerry falls off his bike, and now he's concerned. Wow. You asked for these, and I told you there was a reason I didn't do them an hour ago. No, an hour ago, you said, where are the jokes?
Ah, yes. Well, every day. It's the first thing I say when I come in.
President Bush is standing by Donald Rumsfeld, saying he's doing a superb job. Of course, Bush also thinks he's doing a superb job.
Oh, fantastic jokes, Mr. Shatter.
But I just have one more for you. Mr. Drysdale?
Yes, Milburn Drysdale here. Yes, sir. Ms. Hathaway is at my right arm.
It's been predicted that ice cream prices will rise to record levels this summer. In fact, ice cream is getting so expensive.
How expensive is it?
The Pentagon is offering a $25 million reward for the capture of Ben or Jerry.
Wow.
Wow. Oh,
ooh, my.
That's not even page one.
We love you, Bitman.
That's not even page one. Bitman.
Bitman.
Priceless.
Bitman.
Yeah, I'm Bitman.
Bitman. You
would take the Batman logo, turn it upside down.
Bitman.
Could those even be worse than the ones that we had a couple weeks ago from the complete sheet? I know you really can't
rank them. I think that
them.
Those type of jokes all run together.
Yeah, yeah. But these are particularly bad.
Heinous. He wrote,
they're particularly heinous.
Yeah, buddy.
J-Lo has received an engagement ring from Mark Anthony. They give you like five jokes in case like you want to do this a million times in your show.
Yeah, modify it.
She has an engagement ring. It's nice to see after Ben Affleck, J-Lo has bounced back and started marrying again.
God.
Okay, that's Bitman today.
There you go.
That's Bitman.
There were no wild cards back then, which I must admit does add drama late in the season.
Oh, now, this is Larry King from his book, Why I Love Baseball.
We were only kids, and we knew there was a war on, but we still loved our game. We used to sing war songs in the morning in class, like when the Führer says, "We is the master race, the Heil, poo, Heil, poo," right into Führer's face. We'd sing all those patriotic songs like I Am an American, and over there we'd carry our flags and give our dimes to the March of Dimes to help find a cure for polio, and of course, root, root, root for the home team.
Of course, Larry.
We gathered around the street lamppost at night, looking up the box scores in the morning, and of course, listening to every game we could get on the radio.
Isn't he a tool?
You know, the thing about it is, doesn't it sound like he's phoning this in?
Oh, yeah.
Larry, it's time to read your book. I don't want to. I really don't. We gather around the light post and read the box score, and because it's old, I think it's more interesting to you than it should really be.
As a Jew, I always root for the Jewish player.
Hi, I'm Larry King. I'd like to dedicate...
between the Yankees and Dodgers. This would lead to vicious name-calling, yelling, and screaming. The only fistfight I ever had in my life as a kid was with Herbie. We were debating the merits of various Yankees and Dodgers that year. It had to be 1947. The catches were close. First base was certainly an ideal position. And each of us argued passionately for his team. Now we got to second base.
Well, no need, really, if you're going into the studio and you're tired, to say passionately.
All right.
Passionately.
Listen to the way that's... Now I'm starting to get a little worried about
it.
Jackie Robinson, who was on his way to being Rookie of the Year, was playing second for the Dodgers. A fellow named George Snuffy Sternweiss, who won the American League batting championship in 1945.
What?
Right.
309. That's how bad play was during the war years.
You know, can I say something also?
Sure.
For those of you that, you know, are hearing it, I'm a huge baseball fan. I have memories of baseball too. I don't buy these guys that go, who batted 245 with a lifetime, you know, with 16 home runs and 12 RBIs. You don't Nobody does. What he's doing is he's taking these statistics and you know, melding them into this like he remembers them off the top of his head.
Of course he does.
245.
He's looking up his memories in a book.
When I was playing stickball and having egg cream with my friend, Sandy Koufax.
I couldn't tell you the great Red Sox World Series that I watched as a kid. I couldn't tell you exactly, you know, what people were batting and stuff. Nobody has that kind of recall.
Championship to Brooklyn. That game being played at Yankee Stadium was one of the great thrills of all time.
Yes, Larry.
I can still see Elston Howard swing the bat. Two outs, nobody on.
Right.
I can still see the ball coming at me. I wanted it to come to me. I picked it up, and there was Gil Hodges standing in first. Howard was a slow runner. I had all the time in the world. I measured the throw. It hit Gil's glove, and life was beautiful.
Okay, now stop
so
right
this,
there.
This is true. He's having his little baseball fantasies.
Stop right there. Now, is he making this up, or is he stating
this is
fact?
He's talking about his fantasy.
This is his dream.
No, Larry, I don't think Larry ever played shortstop.
Well, I know, but he said he was friends with with Sandy Koufax.
Larry's having his little fantasy that he's on the ball.
Oh, I get throwing the ball to Gil Hodges, okay.
And there was a God.
Yeah.
Then there was George F. Will, a member of the board of directors of the Baltimore Orioles and a lifetime baseball fanatic.
I hate George Will.
I asked him once, how big a fan was he? And Will said, if the Washington Post's headline tomorrow morning said George Will's secret sex life revealed, I would first turn to the box scores.
Hey,
wow.
I think we all would.
Bingo.
George Will's secret sex life.
Let's go back.
Now I'm curious about that.
Well, we're going to skip back around. We're going to go back to the Jewish part to get to Sandy Koufax is a friend.
Okay.
Now this
has been a source of controversy with Larry. We don't really know all that much about it.
Disputed for years.
Right. We've heard rumors that it's not true.
And didn't we hear a rumor somewhere?
Didn't somebody call him out on it? Was he really a friend?
Someone had Sandy Koufax interviewed him or something and said, did you ever know Larry Zeiger when you were a kid? He said, no.
Sandy Koufax is a tremendous stand-up guy. I mean, I've read articles about Sandy Koufax, recent articles. He's also a very private guy that, you know, he goes out to spring training occasionally. He came to the Red Sox spring training this year. You know, it was a real short thing. He didn't want to make a big deal about it. And I think, didn't we hear a rumor? Because I don't want to say something that's completely out of line.
Why not say it?
I heard a rumor that Sandy Koufax, you know, they asked him, what about the relationship with Larry? And he said it's BS.
Right, that's the same thing we all heard. I don't know the guy. Anyway, let's just hear what Larry says in his new book, Why I Love Baseball.
Yes.
Larry?
Chapter 4. As a Jew, I always root for the Jewish baseball player.
Sure, Larry.
I think everyone instinctively does this.
Sure, blacks
tend to root harder for the
black. Black is Irish Catholics.
Usually root harder for the
Irish Catholics. Yes, right, Larry.
Hank Greenberg of the Detroit Tigers was a ball player to die for. He almost broke Babe Ruth's record. We all swore that nobody wanted to pitch to him the last 2 weeks of that season because they didn't want a Jew to hold the home run record. By the way, I still believe that was the truth, but hopefully times have changed.
Hopefully.
When Greenberg hit his 58th home run of the 1939 season, he had 2 weeks in which to tie or maybe pass Babe Ruth. All the stories at the time were because Greenberg was Jewish.
Sure.
The teams.
Where's my Viagra?
Come on now, I'm going to go down and read that damn book.
Chance, cannon.
Greenberg was walked a lot those last 2 weeks. Teams were afraid.
The part about Sandy Koufax coming up. Give me a moment. It's like a minute into the segment.
He said they pitched him carefully all season and that he had...
You're right about the white stuff in the corner of his mouth.
Yeah, they're talking to Larry.
I don't think...
Ribbit.
Everyone believed the stories except Greenberg himself. In his later years, when he played for Pittsburgh, he was such a prodigious home run hitter that left field at Forbes Field was known as Greenberg.
No need to retake that.
Just go in and phone it in.
No, they won't notice it.
That was
in his later years, when he played for Pittsburgh, he was such a prodigious home run hitter that left field at Forest Field was known as Greenberg.
Wow, Phil.
There's your quality control.
Greenberg's Gardens.
Yeah, okay.
When he hit a home run, the announcer would always say, Hank has just planted another one. In my opinion, it's only logical to root for one of your own. I remember wartime ball players like our beloved Goody Rosen or Cal Abrams. Uh-huh. Both of them played for the Dodgers at the same time.
Yes, Larry.
Then there was Sid Gordon, the Jewish third baseman for the hated Giants.
What about Sandy Koufax?
I always wanted my team to win, but I wanted Gordon to get a lot of hits at the same time. We rooted for Al Rosen, the great third baseman for the Cleveland Indians. Of course, we rooted for Sandy Koufax, and today I'm proud to call a friend.
Hmm.
Okay.
Oh, interesting. Today, this is a new book.
Mm-hmm. Today, I'm proud to call a friend. Do you think he goes into any more detail about it?
Well, you know, I take it back. I don't know if it's a new book. I just got it. I don't know if it's new or not. It's lazy. I don't know if it's new.
Right.
Let's continue to listen, though.
Yeah.
Nowadays, of course, there are quite a few Jewish players in the majors, and I find myself keeping an extra eye out for their comings and goings and doings. Sean Green, the right fielder for the Dodgers, is a current favorite of mine. He's a star player who does not play on Yom Kippur. In fact, most Jewish players decline to play on the High Holy Days,
so
much to their
Sandy
credit.
Koufax.
That is it.
Wow.
Sandy Koufax is a friend.
Who today I'm proud to call a friend.
Proud to call a friend.
Yeah. Okay, well.
Very careful, wasn't it?
Yeah,
very interesting.
I interviewed him. World.
Hey, Robbie, go ahead to, can you cue it up to the matzah and chicken fat sandwiches? Mark 650. Matzah and chicken sandwiches.
Chicken fat.
They were poor.
Sandy Koufax is a friend.
Sandy Koufax, who today I'm proud to call a friend, even though he doesn't call me.
Could be played one game at Ebbets Field on a Friday, two games at Yankee Stadium Saturday and Sunday, and then they'd rotate the following year.
You know, I take it back. No, this is obviously a current book. I just got it from Amazon, and how stupid am I? In the beginning, he talks about Chance and Canham.
Yeah, right, exactly.
So this is obviously...
Well, relatively recent, sure.
Yeah. Right.
One Saturday preseason game was at Ebbets Field in Brooklyn, and it occurred on Passover. I think it was 1948. I remember we brought matzo sandwiches, managed to finagle our way down behind the Dodgers' dugout, and give matzo to the players. None of them knew what it was. Jackie Robinson ate a whole matzo square and then wrote down the name of the product so he could buy it.
Okay, stop. Now, Jackie Robinson is dead. This is one thing about Larry King and his stories. Never
right.
be any way to prove that.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you really believe the story Jackie Robinson, maybe the greatest baseball player of all time, because of what he accomplished, besides what he did on the field, do you mean the odds of this happening were true? That when Jackie Robinson broke the color line, there was a little Jewish boy named Larry King having a matzo ball sandwich.
And gave him matzo to eat.
And Larry King somehow got close enough to the great Jackie Robinson in the midst of all this turmoil with him crossing the color line to give him not only give him the matzo ball sandwich, but then Jackie Robinson says, hey, hello there. I love me this matzo. Write it down for me, Larry. No, come on.
We are saying that
you can't prove it.
Is keep this all, you know,
you can't
respect.
Prove it.
Right.
What are you going to do? Dig Jackie Robinson up and go, hey, do you remember some kid asking you about matzo balls at a Dodgers game?
And did you buy
it? We gave Joe Hatton, the Dodger pitcher that afternoon, a big matzo sandwich consisting of chicken fat on matzo. This is not the world's healthiest diet, but it sure tasted damn good. Hatton loved it. He devoured it. He was also bombed in the first inning by the Yankees, knocked out in disgrace. The ball flew everywhere off Yankee bats. To this day, I blame it on Herbie for giving Joe Hatton the chicken fat matzo sandwich. Even though it was only an exhibition game, it still hurt.
Wow.
I don't know.
Okay. Interesting.
I don't know. You want to hear a little more? You want to hear a little of the dedication to his kids?
Sure.
Because that's something we heard just a little bit of.
Ah.
I mean, I've got like five discs of this thing. We are not even into the first third of the book.
Incredible.
Hi, this is Larry King, and I'm proud to present my newest book on audio. It's Why I Love Baseball. So New Millennium Audio presents Larry King, Why I Love Baseball.
Yeah, hi.
The book is dedicated thusly. In all our lives, there are hits, strikeouts, and the occasional home run.
Really, Larry?
This book is dedicated to my two young sons, Chance King and his brother, Cannon King. Two of the cherished home runs of my life.
Yeah.
Thanks to Viagra.
No need to say
Chapter
Chance.
One.
No need to say Chance and Cannon.
Right.
Make sure
October 3rd, 19...
King and Cannon King.
Mm-hmm. ...was the saddest day of my life.
Why is that?
On that afternoon at the Polo Grounds in New York City, Bobby Thompson hit the shot that was...
Around the world, yes.
He homered off Ralph Branca in the bottom of the ninth inning.
Don't tell me you were there, Larry.
For Giants victory over my beloved Dodgers in the final game of a three-game playoff.
Don't tell me you were there.
Determined the winner of the National League pennant.
Larry?
It's the only time in my life that I seriously contemplated suicide.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay, told you. There's a lot of good stuff.
Oh, good. I like especially. You know, no need to do a retake. No.
You know, like I said, we could go a whole show listening. We're not even done with disc number one yet.
All right.
Of the Larry King stuff. Let's take some of your own.
All right, now, visiting the polar grounds.
Come here.
Is there somebody in my throat?
Yeah, and I believe that. Jackie Robinson. You just go, hey, Jackie, how about a matzo sandwich? He goes, hey, this is good. What's the name of this?
You know what my memory is from a baseball game from being a kid?
What?
California Angels bat boy. Looking at myself and my friend Tommy McCabe. Held the ball up, looked at us like, hey, you want a baseball? And we just flew over the railing and ran down there. And by the time we got down there, he looked at us and he went back into the dugout.
Mike, that's what really happens to people at ball games.
That's right.
Okay? Bone scan, here we go. Call now, you animals. Dial recklessly, 877-365-3636. From anywhere in America, from Canada, please call 800-636-1067 and DC 202-432-1067. The same numbers as yesterday. Your calls are rotating on screen. The phone scan lies straight ahead.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hi, this is Donny Osmond, and I never listen to Don Geronimo and Mike O'Meara. Mike. Hi, this is Donny Osmond, and I never listen to Don Geronimo and Mike O'Meara. Hi, this is Donny Osmond. I never listen to... I can't do it. Hi, this is Donny Osmond, and I never listen to Don Geronimo and Mike O'Meara. I did it.
The Don and Mike Show. Yeah. Working delightfully non-blue, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Meara.
Well, Miss Olive, I can tell you've
been hurt. She regretfully has left us.
She missed you so much. Miss you more than that load Alan King, I'll tell you that. But, Mike, once again, we're going to have to agree to disagree.
Yes, of course. That's another one of our debates.
Big debate yesterday.
Which we have another debate.
Which death was more important?
We have another debate, something that excites me but does not excite you.
All right, go. What do you got? You came in the studio. You got something. What do you got?
Hey, man, I lost it.
Come on, hurry.
Here it is.
Waiting on you. Waiting on you, sweetheart. What is it you have? Oh, you have your first cicada.
It's a cicada skeleton.
That's right.
My lawn is covered with them.
Your first,
he crushes it.
First
it?
Here it is.
You can actually hear it crunch. Listen. That's the, that is the cicada.
That's it.
Exoskeleton.
Yes, that's it.
Which means they're only one thing, Don.
Right, I know. They're
it means that is the skeleton of one that is now flying around.
Last Sunday.
Joe saw it. Joe was out there. And I thought Joe, Joe had, like, you know, done one of these until all of a sudden from the sky comes one of these little exoskeletons indicating that there is a functioning flying breeding.
So your
cicada.
Your source on this story is Joe Ardinger?
No, my source is that skeleton.
Yeah, I know, but Joe found the skeleton.
Joe saw the real cicada, and he said, it flew into the bushes, and we were sitting outside at Smoker's Corner out there, where everybody in this building goes outside to smoke, because you're not allowed to smoke inside.
Sure.
We were saying that if any of the cicada nymphs are down in that soil, they're going to be mutated in some strange form. They're going to come out, you know, going... Very, very... It's very exciting for me, Don, to see that first evidence. My first... I know a lot of people around the area of Washington, D.C., and Northern Virginia, and Maryland have seen these cicadas, but that's my first contact with the cicada, and I think it's just ducky.
I think it's great. You should go home tonight and watch the news, because that's all that they're doing now.
Yeah.
They're invading. They're here. They're going to be here within a couple of days.
Oh, they'll be here for the month. I love it.
This is the way... Understand, they're bugs.
Yeah.
They're bugs. They don't bother anybody. They don't...
so you say.
They don't bother animals. They don't eat foliage. They come out, they shed their skin, and they make a lot of noise.
You know what you should do? You should ask Buzz, because he's seen them so many more times than any of us.
Yeah.
They only come every 17 years.
Buzz, you're on your sixth time seeing them?
The sixth round for me. I always get excited.
365-3636. Here we go. Phone scan time. Your calls. These are on-screen telephone calls. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello. Hi, Mike.
Hi there. You're on the air.
Yeah, like Larry King, I have a very fond baseball story. I was a little boy, and I was sick in the hospital, and Babe Ruth came and visited me. And he pointed. He told me he was going to hit a home run for me. And then later on in the game, he pointed out the left field, so I knew it was for me.
Yeah. What an incredible story. You ought to put that in a book.
That's great.
Yeah, well, you know, then I died.
That's too bad.
That's good.
See you later. Bye-bye. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey,
hello.
G.
Hey.
Hey, Em.
Hi. Hello.
Hey, Mike, did you go to opening day? Yeah. With the Orioles against Boston.
Yes, regretfully, I went to opening day where it was 18 degrees. And well, you know what, Don? Let me tell this story like Larry would tell it.
All right, go ahead, Mike.
I went to opening day, which was, as far as I was concerned, the coldest day in the history of the world. 72 degrees below zero. I actually walked down and talked to Cal Ripken, who was there being honored before the game, and gave him a corned beef and cabbage sandwich, which he devoured and asked me where I got the corned beef. Then, of course, my two friends froze to death because we consumed too much beer.
It was the only time I considered suicide.
You were talking about how Johnny Damon... And the way he looks right now.
Yeah, I love that guy for the Red Sox.
And incidentally, he's shaving it off. He's going to, I think it's Gillette that's donating $15,000 to Boston, Boston Public Library.
He's going to hold out for more.
I would think he could if he did the whole package, like the hair and the beard. Say he's going to keep the hair long. And, hey, that's going to be a good look.
Hello, Don and Mike show. He's the one Red Sox guy I like.
You like Johnny Damon? I like him too.
Yeah. Kind of got that crazy look about it.
He does. You know, they got a camera shot of him in the game the other night where he's just sitting on the dugout steps, and they had kind of a profile shot of him, and he looked very, very scary. Very scary.
Well, you know, when you ask, I'm not the biggest baseball fan, Mike is, but when you ask me my opinion of baseball, I always say,
Chapter 4. As a Jew, I always root for the Jewish baseball player.
I know. That's what you say every time.
Every time. Sure. Yeah. Chapter 4.
Chapter 4.
Hello. Todd and Mike show.
Todd and Mike.
Hi.
Hey, how's it going, man? I just moved out to Las Vegas a couple months ago, and I've been trying to find a station. I finally found it. And I got to say...
Congratulations on finding the station.
Yeah. It was tough. I had to go on here and the station. Anyways,
Let me explain to you, just Mumbles, let me explain to you how tough it is to find a station in Las Vegas. What you do is you get in your radio, if you have a scan button,
right?
If we scan it, it stops on every station, and eventually when you hear my big mouth or Mike's big mouth, you know you found the station.
That's it.
Well, that's what happened, actually.
Oh, well, see, I'm glad that recipe worked
good
for
work.
You.
That's good.
Hey, question for you guys. In the future, do you plan on having any... Las Vegas-style shows in Las Vegas,
because I'm
missing them.
Oh, listen. Oh, I don't want to put you in the book. You're too.
Oh, he doesn't deserve it.
You're too nice to go in the book. But no, Las Vegas-style shows are a thing of the past. If you think we can't do the show that we did before with the FCC, there's no way we can go out and have people having sex on stage. We can't do
it anymore.
Not anymore.
Should have been not anymore.
Like, been
that's good. That's kind of Larry the way we did that too. Not like the old days when we had people actually doing that on stage.
And one time we had some woman come up and have sex with Jackie Robinson.
Pretty amazing.
It was Sandy Koufax, as a matter of fact. Sandy Koufax had sex with Jackie Robinson.
It was amazing. And then asked where he could get that monster.
Right. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Yes, we are. Hello there.
Hey, when did they start hiring Rod Stewart to play Tony Soprano's wife on The Sopranos?
When do they hire Rod Stewart to play? Okay, all right.
Is that a joke?
Yeah.
Kind of. Is that a Carmelo reference?
I think so, yeah. Hi, Don and Mike, hello.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air.
How are you?
We're doing great, thank you.
How are you doing? Have a good day. Be safe.
Don and Mike.
Don and Mike.
Don and Mike.
How are you? I thought I'd hit my horn. Honk, honk.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Phone's
going. How's it going, fellas? Is Mr. O'Mara there, please?
Yeah, I'm right here. Thank you.
He's here. Mr. O'Mara, not that I'm panicking or anything, but what kind of guns and ammo would you recommend to fight against the cicada horde?
I don't think that's going to work. I really think what I would use is I would gather all the pesticides that you have, and maybe make a nice pesticide drink cocktail. But the only way to do that is to test it yourself first, which, of course, would involve spraying them all into your face.
And they're bugs. I appreciate your help.
My pleasure.
Okay, they're bugs.
Good luck.
Okay.
All right, there's no, you know, listen.
They're bugs, Mike.
You know, if you want to low-key this emergency, you know, you can low-key it all you want.
You
but
know,
I,
and,
that little
you
creature,
and
might look, that skeleton, might look real innocent to you.
You and every mook on Channel 5, Channel 4, Channel 9.
Yeah, since the attack of the cicadas.
Have you seen them yet?
Oh, when you hear them, they'll drive you mad.
Bugs to you, maybe to me, a blanket of death on my lawn.
Hello. Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Okay, we're doing great.
Good, good. As much as it pains me to admit this, but during the commercial break, I was flipping around local radio here, and I heard the joke about the Rocky Road ice cream from one of the local DJs.
What market are you calling from? What station?
I'm in Toronto, but I listen on WBUF in Buffalo.
All right, so what station did you hear the guy do the Rocky Road joke
on?
It was
a Canadian radio station. They call it The Rock from Oshawa. And it's so lame, it's not funny.
So what is it, like, is it album rock?
It's classic rock, yeah.
Classic.
Well, I think the Canadian disc jockeys are allowed to get away with it. What do they have to work with?
Ann Murray.
Yeah. Gordon Lightfoot. Mm-hmm.
Brian Adams.
Alex Trebek.
Peter Jennings.
Michael J. Fox.
Paul Schaefer.
Mike Myers.
Wayne Gretzky. I don't want to be king of the Canadians. Come up with another one.
I'm trying.
I don't want to be
king. I know you don't, and I normally would give in just to get you king of Canadians, but I'm. Did we mention Dana Carvey?
No. No, we didn't.
Is Dana Carvey a Canadian?
No, but Marty Short is.
Yo, disqualification.
Yeah, I'm king of the Canadians. because I called him Marty Short. That's like the crime. I was screaming about that the other day about some...
That's a disqualification. I win the Canadian
some
game.
Some dope like Mike Myers that was on TV talking to Regis and said, well, Marty sends his best.
It's only fair because as soon as you went to Wayne Gretzky, I could have gone right down the line. And then we just would have been saying hockey players for half an hour.
Except I was out after Wayne Gretzky.
I know you were out after Wayne Gretzky. But Marty Short.
You're right. You deserve it. Mike, you're king of the Canadians.
Marty Short.
Hello, Don and Mike. Martin Short, of course. Not Marty Short. That's what his dumb Hollywood friends call him.
Yeah, his friends like Bill Kristol.
Well, I was with Marty. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hi, Don.
Yes, hi.
Have you seen the new Adam West commercial?
For what?
He's pimping this wireless internet service like you put in like in malls and stuff. It's
oh no, hold on, don't tell me. Is this like one of those sad commercials where I've seen the type where it says you can make dollars in your spare time if you put like an ATM machine
right.
in your deli? Is this one of those things where you put up a kiosk and people can walk up and get on the web is that what it is, or is it Wi-Fi? Is it the thing where you can go in a place and use your computer because the whole place is wired?
No, it's one of those. It's one of the commercials like you were talking about, where you take the machine and you put it in your deli or whatever. You know, it's one of those sad commercials.
That is so sad. Did he give a phone number?
I don't have
look around cafe.
Does he say he's Batman in the commercial?
Yes, he does.
Of course.
Oh.
And the thing is, Don, he makes a reference to the Batcave, too. He says, boy, I wish in my day I had one of these in the Batcave.
You know what? I cut him some slack. Just like Dick Van Dyke.
Guy's got to make a living.
Those old dudes got to make a living. At least he's not wearing a suit anymore.
I mean, they don't get paid the kind of money that sitcom people get paid now.
No, absolutely. As a matter of fact, I think when Batman was on, I think when it was like the number one show, when I was like 8 years old and you were in the seventh, mm-hmm. I think Adam West made something like $10,000 a week, which at the time was
huge money.
Huge money. But then they said to him, the syndication, because they thought the show would never run, right. They said, like, we'll give you a cent every time it runs.
Weren't towards the end the Olsen twins making about $100,000 an episode each?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they're very rich. I mean, that gives you a little perspective on it.
And aren't they fuggly, the Olsen twins? Don't they look like
skinny?
Don't they look like horse girls?
I don't find them totally.
You know what they look
fuggly.
Like? They kind of look like that little girl on One Life to Live.
Yeah, they're similar. Well, just kind of like the disproportionate features. But
you know what? That's hold on.
Mm-hmm.
Brilliant.
Where the nose is a little larger than the face.
They almost look like they look like midgets' faces.
But I was,
you know what I mean.
Yeah.
When you get a midget, excuse me, a dwarf. Mm-hmm. When you get a dwarf,
right.
And they're very small, but then they have the big, giant, regular sized head.
They have a large head. They are very. I mean, everything I read about the Olsen twins is there's a huge fan base now of guys that think that that they're the hottest thing in the world.
There's also an anorexia scare for I believe Ashley Olsen.
It's Mary Kate.
Who can tell? And who cares?
No, because I read an article about this. You look at one and one
I know
really
somebody who's fixated on the Olsen twins.
You can't, I tell you, you can't avoid the Olsen twins right now.
No.
Sure you can. Because of that movie, they're everywhere. And one looks noticeably you know, those tabloids. I read that crap.
Yeah.
And the tabloids have the picture. You know, they spare nothing. Where they zoom in, they're standing side by side, and they're both, they shoot them both from the knees down, and you see the one with the stick legs and the one with the normal legs.
Yeah.
Very, very weird.
They both look fuggly to me.
But the problem that Adam West had with the Batman stuff, and a lot of the people did in the 60s, is they didn't sign up for syndication in perpetuity, so they only got for like two runs, and that's why he doesn't get any money.
Thank you, Rob. Okay. You know, I love what you're talking about, but when you said perpetuity,
yeah,
you know what that sound was? Radio dials clicking
and coffins coming out of the ground.
Perpetuity.
That's a little cemetery reference there.
Perpetuity.
Yes, you will rest in perpetuity.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
F Rob.
Call your mom.
Okay.
Hello. Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, Mike.
Yes, sir.
And I got a better idea for, instead of the pesticides for the cicadas.
What do you do?
Just smack them with tennis rackets.
Yeah, solid. Did I just say solid?
Yes, yeah, you did.
Because it's a good, solid idea. I didn't mean that like in the... Who used to say that on TV? The Hog Squad. Yes. I'm going back to an early 1970s reference there.
You
solid.
Jive turkey.
Jive turkey.
That's solid.
Yeah, why don't you do yourself a solid?
Where's my swag? That's solid.
Right on.
Solid.
Solid. Oh.
That's solid, brother.
Oh, my God.
Hi.
So embarrassed.
Hi, it's Mike O'Mara. Keep on trucking.
I am very embarrassed. I think I'm going to be embarrassed all the way up until the button.
Don't be embarrassed. I say it in perpetuity.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hey, I might not give you a button today. You don't get a button every day. You didn't get a button yesterday.
I never know. You're the one that decides what the buttons are.
Hello,
Chief.
Don and Mike show. Larry. Hello.
I
only did that because
the game.
Don't call me Chief and don't call me Larry.
God, you scared me for a second.
Oh, come on.
I think
everyone instinctively does this. Blacks tend to root harder for the black players. The Irish Catholics usually root harder for other Irish Catholics.
I know I did.
Right. Me too.
Absolutely. When I was rooting for Carl Yastrzemski and Tony Conigliaro.
Don and Mike show. Hello. Hello. Don and Mike radio show. Or just hang up. Hi, Don and Mike. Hello.
Hello, dear. Don and Mike show, dear. Hello, dear.
He now calls all the time.
I don't know why
this
I like
is
this
Doubtfire guy.
I don't know why I like this guy.
I wanted to thank you guys for the rope. I won on My Mom is a Whore.
Hold on. You just went right from your Mrs. Doubtfire right like to your regular guy voice.
Oh, sorry about that.
Can we get a little more Mrs. Doubtfire?
Hello, dear. It was a run by Frutine, dear. Hello.
So tell us what you wanted to say as Mrs. Doubtfire. You want a prize?
Oh, I wanted to thank you, dear, for sending me the robe with the Sopranos, dear.
All right. See you guys.
Fun and special. Apparently we think we're so superior, don't we? Just doing well, Mrs. Doubtfire.
I think I'm done. I think I'm ready to be replaced right now.
I think so.
Absolutely. I bet I can compete if I chop one off.
Hello.
Todd and Mike show. Hello.
Hey guys, how you doing? Hey Mike,
yeah.
I wanted to know if you met your current special lady through the help of Dr. Chip Bandwidth.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I did. I watched that. Yeah, and didn't he have the dating service on cable access?
Yes, he did.
It was wonderful, and I got all my advice. He was funny, and he was giving me good advice at the same time.
Now, we're making a joke here about a disc jockey to Grease Man, when in actuality, you don't want this known, but you met your girlfriend Carla through eHarmony.com.
Dr. Neil Clark Warren helped me, and, you know, most of those services only give you a picture and a photograph. I mean, a picture. What is it, Rob?
Isn't that commercial?
Picture and a paragraph. Picture and a paragraph.
Hey, do you have the commercial with the guy? God knows we play it all the time. And listen, they're a good sponsor, so don't cancel.
No.
But doesn't he sound creepy? Like maybe he could be, like maybe he could, you could consider him doing something.
Client alert. Why would he be offended?
High-paying client alert. That maybe...
Large schedule alert.
That maybe he would have enjoyed a weekend at Neverland Ranch.
That's all I want to say. When I hear
his
voice...
Thank you for modifying that.
When I hear the voice, that's all I think.
He strikes me as a music fan.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, client alert.
Oh, come on. And the guy's creepy on TV. Have you seen him on TV?
I think he's handsome.
Who's on the hotline?
I haven't seen him on TV.
Hello? Oh, his commercials. Hello?
Hey, that's suspicious.
Dr. Neil Clark Warren calling.
You know, I don't want to alert anybody here at the radio station. I know that you don't like it when I bring up these vermin, these bugs, but I think that there's potential that they could offer some interference in telecommunications as well as satellite communications.
Okay, let's come on. Now, let's talk about this guy.
My name is Troy, and I met my fiancée on eHarmony.com.
My name is Tom.
Not him.
Wait until you hear the guy. Here he is.
On eHarmony.com.
My name is Jack.
Not him.
No.
My wife, Jennifer, on eHarmony.com.
My name is Mike, and I met my latest on eHarmony.com.
I'm Neil Clark Warren. Join me in Neverland.
Hi, I'm Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com.
Does it now? Listen.
No, not to me. Sounds like a nice man. Sounds terrific.
Give you a picture in a paragraph.
Picture in a paragraph.
You go a lot deeper.
Deeper.
You go a lot deeper.
He does.
Changed my life.
Hi, kids. I'm Neil Clark Warren.
Fantastic.
Step into my house of wax.
Fantastic. He's a good guy, Don.
I think he did. You know him, Mike.
I know him personally. I went to his website.
Hello.
Found love.
I forgot to tweet that.
Carlo. That's right. And then we ate matzo.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, what's up, Chief?
Hey, Chief.
How's it going, Cowboy?
Okay, slick.
Hey, that commercial is so annoying. That guy sounds like he's saying something besides .com if you listen to it. I can't
okay,
say
let's,
it, but
let's
anyway.
Let's not go there, bud.
No. Okay, thank you. Hi, Don and Mike show.
Hello.
Oh, this is the Julia guy.
Hello.
Everybody loves this.
No, it's not a guy.
Oh, it's a girl. Hi. Hi, honey. Oh, you're the Julia girl.
Hello. Okay. Showbiz moms and dads, have you all talked about that?
Showbiz moms and dads?
It's on Bravo.
On Bravo.
Yeah. On Bravo, that TV. Yeah, I think we've seen that show.
I wonder if the boy that's profiled, his name is Shane Clenda something, is he the one that you contacted his mother?
In New York, remember?
Really? Yes. Yeah, I think that
is. Is that him? He lives in Florida.
I think so.
Oh.
Robbie, do you remember that?
Carrie watches this show. What's his name?
Shane, and his last name's like Clinkin' Dinker or something.
Not the same guy, because I had the same thought. I read a story about the guy, and I thought it was...
That's what it was. It was Shane Clinkin' Dinker.
Three names.
Yes, the three name people.
I heard
he's dating Lucinda Bassett.
honey, anything else?
That's it. It's a great show. I recommend that you watch it if you want to watch some true child abuse.
Oh, God.
Right.
Shane Klingendinker.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
De nada, y Miguel, ¿cómo estás, amigo?
Hola.
Muy bien.
Hola.
De nada. De nada. Is me your papa, Billy Sanchez?
Oh, get out of here. Oh. I never should have said that I wanted to meet my father.
Lots of them have been calling all week.
They all want the Cadillac,
want the
Mike.
Car. We're working through the minority chain.
I don't doubt. You know, I don't doubt. I wouldn't be surprised if my dad was black or Hispanic. And wouldn't that be the biggest joke, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Boy, Rob, you'd have to stop being my best friend.
You wouldn't be my neighbor.
Don and Mike show.
You, Mike.
Yeah.
Man, you forgot about the best Canadian of all, Adam Sandler.
Oh, you know, I did.
Canada, please, sir.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
That was a good one. You lost the bet. That's when you had to sing O Canada.
That's right. Adam Sandler was a very prominent Canadian. If you're keeping track, Don lost due to the Marty Short disqualification.
but you lost a long time ago when you had an argument with me that Adam Sandler was Canadian. That's why you had to go outside.
Oh, he isn't Canadian.
That's why you had to go outside and sing the O Canada.
See, I completely forgot. He's not black. I always think of him as Canadian, and I thought of it
that was another time I won a bet against you.
Yeah, sure. I blocked it.
Earlier today, right. When Tom Chills said Jerry Van Dyke is awful. The highly respected.
Are you through?
are you,
no, I'm not talking to you, sir. Are you done now?
Oh no.
Are you having fun?
Yeah.
All right. I'm gonna start trying harder. I'm not talking about tomorrow or the next day. I'm talking about for the rest of this show. I'm gonna be working real hard to find stuff. My God. I'm gonna be waiting.
You are the last caller. What is your name?
Hi, I'm Gavin.
Now, Gavin, where are you from?
Hey, what's up,
Gavin? I'm from Arlington.
Gavin,
College Park.
You've got a Breville Classic Blender and Bartender's Bible, courtesy of the Fox show, That 70s Show. Tune into That 70s Show on Fox Wednesday, May 19th for the one-hour season finale. But wait, there's more. You've also won the WWE SmackDown Judgment Day prize pack featuring our friend, the wrestler, The Undertaker. Remember when he was in here?
The Undertaker was the scariest wrestler we ever had in here.
Watch WWE SmackDown, get it on UPN starting at 8 p.m. 7 Central. You've also qualified for a trip to be part of two for a trip to Tube to be a part of WWE SummerSlam Toronto, August 15th, courtesy of UPN. I think we'll give that away on Friday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, thank you, gentlemen.
Enjoy your blending machine that we gave you.
Thank you. I will, for sure.
Okay, hold on just a second.
All right. Happy you could win at my expense, sir.
That's a fine blending machine.
Fine blending machine.
Greenberg of the Detroit Tigers was a ball player to die for.
Hold on a second. I'm just going to pick one of these. You know, I'm going to put a different disc in.
Oh, very exciting.
Before we go to break, I've got this book on tape on three different discs, and now we're just going to see what we get. Okay? Let's put it in. Cue it up. Don't know what it is. Cut number three. Let's see. What does Larry have to say?
Exciting, isn't it? It is exciting, Ron.
While each era brings changes in context, baseball always had enough continuity to permit reasonable comparisons among players whose careers were...
Did he read that after he got out of bed?
Baseball always has... And I'm not going to do another take! I won't do another take.
There's Larry.
Made a profession of bringing the game into the mind's eye is wonderful. When we love our hometown announcer, we love him. We don't like it if somebody else takes over for him, even for an inning or two. If you're a Dodger fan, you want to hear Vin Scully just as the Dodger fans.
Hey, Michael, listen to One Notre Dame Radio.
The next time you need
to play that one again.
Yeah. Back that up. Back that up for a second. You got it ready? Okay, here we go.
Made a profession of bringing the game into the mind's eye is wonderful. When we love our hometown announcer, we love him. We don't like it if somebody else takes over for him.
This is Larry Michael, Westwood One, Notre Dame Radio.
I want to hear Vin Scully just as the Dodger fans of my youth wanted Red Barber and nobody else. Believe it or not, we would even argue over announcers. The Yankee fans were married to Mel Allen, and the Giants fans had their beloved Russ Hodges.
Yeah, Larry.
There was also Harry Carey in Chicago, Jack Buck in St. Louis, Bob Prince in Pittsburgh.
I like it better when he talks about matzo balls.
Right. People would sit on porches outside tenement buildings on fire escapes with their portable radios, listening to the voices make the game come alive.
Yuck.
I just got out of bed to read this.
Yuck. Here's the other one. Let's go back to him talking about how he roots for Jewish players. That's funny. Give me a second. That's seven. Got all that other stuff. Jesus Christ. You know, the problem is, I listened to the book. The part about Bob Uecker, where he talks about how funny Bob Uecker is.
Bob Uecker is funny.
You got to sit through 10 minutes of him talking about all that other
stuff. Well, you said that early on, really, it's, we're having fun with it.
You got to wade way through. You got to put your boots on when you read this book or listen to this
Larry.
Book.
Yes, sir.
Chapter 4. As a Jew, I always root for the Jewish baseball player.
There you go. Like what, Larry?
I think everyone instinctively does this. Oh, blacks tend to root harder for the black players. The Irish Catholics usually root harder for other Irish Catholics.
That's right, Larry. I always rooted for Seamus O'Sullivan to step up to the plate and get the big, fine home run.
There he is. You know, we might as well, as long as we're on the topic of Larry.
Larry.
Let's try this game.
Yeah.
Don't call me Larry.
Yeah. Don't call me Larry.
You got some music there, boy? Thank you. Loaded in machine number 6, please.
And the way this works is if the person on the other end says, I'm not Larry.
Yeah, they have to say, don't call me Larry.
Don't call me Larry.
Don't call me Larry. We tried this a couple weeks ago. Don't call me Chief. We're trying now with Larry.
Mm-hmm.
Because of this Larry right here.
Hank Greenberg of the Detroit Tigers was a ball player to die for.
So, if you're in your car, you want to win $100, here's what you do. And that's the prize. You go to a fast food place, Taco Bell, Jack in the Box, McDonald's, Burger King, it doesn't matter.
McDonald's.
Whatever you go to, you pull up and they say, hi, may I help you? You say, yeah, I'd like number one, Larry.
Uh-huh.
And then they say, would you like anything else? I don't know, how's that number one, Larry?
Larry, what can you recommend? Larry, do you have any idea about any specials? Are there any specials, Larry?
And while you can't go overboard with it, you do punctuate about every question to the person at the drive-thru window.
A good one is, I didn't hear you, Larry.
Could you repeat yourself, Larry?
What are the drink sizes, Larry?
And if you get the person who probably is from India, like that lady on the American Idol phone, if you get them to finally say in 60 seconds,
don't call me Larry.
You, my friend.
Winner.
You are big.
Winner.
Fat.
Winner.
Hairy.
Winner.
Winner. Now, we tried this with Don't Call Me Chief, and a guy called the show and said, hey, Letterman did that bit.
Right.
And as it turns out, Letterman did do that
bit. Wow.
You know, remember my rule. If you're stealing from me, you're stealing twice. So we'll try it this time with the name Larry.
Larry.
Go to a fast food place. Mm-hmm. Don't call me Larry.
Hank Hank Greenberg of the Detroit Tigers was a ball player to die for.
Larry.
He broke Babe Ruth's record. We all swore that nobody wanted to pitch to him the last 2 weeks of that season.
And remember, you don't look good if Larry doesn't look good.
By the way.
Now you're moving into an entirely different Larry.
Larry.
Larry, that's Larry Sanders.
Larry.
Larry. Larry, don't call me Larry. Oh, and hey, you haven't done Larry Fine for a long time.
Hey, don't call me Larry.
We'll be right back.
He's the Don and Mike. He's the Don and Mike Show.
Okay, this anniversary for Don and Mike, and after it's taped, give it to Andrea, and she'll phone and say she's got it, okay? Hi, it's Larry King in Washington. So proud of the fact that Don and Mike have reached their 8th anniversary. Pleasure in welcoming you aboard. Happy new organization. Happy anniversary, guys. And you're both, I was going to say you're both terrific, but...
Well...
Don and Mike Show.
That's all we got from him.
From what I've seen of their records, the only thing they do contribute is mayhem and chaos.
No, I'm chaos and he's mayhem. We're a double act.
Hi. The King.
Now, even moister, the Don and Mike Show.
All right, folks are standing by to try this Don't Call Me Larry. Hey, Rob, while we're doing this, why don't you try to give the hillbilly a call? Give Big Tom a call, whatever that guy's name is, the eBay guy.
Big Tom.
With the wax museum.
Yeah.
That's the celebrity that I picture him as.
Yeah, and are we still on the case as far as trying to track down old Rupert from Survivor?
Well, Mike, I hate to put down any Infinity executive.
Yeah, I know that's not your way.
No.
It's not my style.
I don't like you.
Let me just say, though, that maybe a month ago, an Infinity executive, who really is now walking around like with his tail between his legs, sent me a very pompous email saying, I can promise you Rupert from Survivor anytime. So I sent him a note back and said, how about tomorrow?
Uh-huh. Right.
Whatever date this was. The guy who shall remain nameless, Michael Hughes, wrote me a note back and said, there's a deal that they can't talk to anybody until they're either voted off the show or until they win the show.
All right.
But the day after that happens, I promise you'll have them on the show.
Exactly.
And, well, give me a second. I'll pull the email up.
I hope you don't mind me bringing that up.
Yeah.
I'm just excited because I like him so much.
Yeah.
Ooh, Michael or Rupert?
Rupert.
Uh-huh.
I like Rupert. Rupert's my favorite, and I came in late to the party on Survivor All Stars.
And he's going
to
win the $1 million on
how do you not like
Thursday night?
And the guy's just you know, he seems like a decent guy. AOL,
let me sign.
And not all those people seem like decent people. Very true.
Give me 1 second. And then what I promise we'll
be right Mountain Man way and everything. I think he's the most normal of all the down-to-earth guy, regular guy. That guy, Tom, Big Tom, something's wrong there.
My password. Tough to figure out.
Something happened in the hay barn.
Here we go. Okay. Welcome, AOL. Oh, I've got mail. Excuse me.
You have new mail?
I've got mail. Oh, God. Why do I get so much junk?
Yeah.
You know, you buy one spam, one goddamn thing from somebody, and they send you a million ads.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Here we go. Old mail. Michael Hughes. God. The heading is still no Rupert.
Okay.
This was sent... this morning.
This is fresh. Good.
At 11:50 a.m.
Uh-huh.
Dear Don, my friend who knows where Rupert is cannot get a hold of him. He's been trying to reach him in New York since yesterday around noon, and his cell voice mailbox is full and he's not picking up. That's it. He's trying for us, and I'll let you know as soon as he can get through.
Yeah, right. Okay.
There you go. Anyway, that's from Michael Hughes, Vice President of Infinity Radio.
6 months from now, well, when nobody's interested, we'll be able to get him.
Sure. And he'll just call the show, or we'll call him.
Right.
You know, we'll be calling a phone booth somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And he go, hello, this is Rupert.
Yeah!
So anyway, you know, pardon me for erring on the side of believing what an Infinity guy told me.
I got a little excited.
And he came down the hall today, and he, you know, Michael Hughes, that is, the Infinity guy, and he's wearing his suit and everything, and just kind of sticks his head and goes,
right.
Hey, did you get my email about that Rupert thing? You know, it's kind of out of my hands. And, you know, that's fine. You know,
I normally would say I'm not glad. I'm sorry I asked. Now I'm really glad I asked because I found that highly entertaining. I really did.
But I mean, the original email he sent me was, I can get you this guy. Somebody in Indianapolis.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's his. Boy, would Michael Hughes want to go on the air with us? I bet he wouldn't. Call. Hey, Robbie?
Yeah.
Let's
see if he'll chat with us.
Everybody's standing online for this guy.
Now, in fairness to whoever his friend is,
I mean, I can understand this guy being inundated right now.
Hey, would you pick that up, Rob?
Yeah.
Tell Hughes, we're on the radio. We just want a Rupert update from
him. I mean, you know, obviously, Rupert probably is the clear leader for the being voted the $1 million.
Right.
And he's probably in a period of time where he doesn't want to talk to anybody. I'm sure he's very busy.
Let's see if Hugh goes.
They want a Rupert update.
He's savvy. He checks.
That's all we need is we need to know where
Well, he's negotiating with Rob.
Of course.
There we go.
Okay, you got him?
Yeah.
Okay.
And here he comes kicking and screaming, ladies and gentlemen.
Let me get him to identify myself.
Hello, would you enter and sign in, please?
Michael Hughes, band driver and banner
Michael Hughes, he said, I heard it through that. You have to start it again to get the effect of it. Michael, we're going to have to get you to repeat exactly what you said.
All right, hold on a second. Michael, what did you say? Who are you?
Michael Hughes, van driver and banner hanger.
Oh.
And then you were going to play the...
Yeah,
he's a radio guy. He's always going to start with... He's always going to have an opening.
I got to wait for the thing to queue up again. Hey, what's your name again, sir?
Michael Hughes.
There it is. So, Michael, I was mentioning that you sent me an email saying you know the guy is it in Indianapolis? You know a guy who knows Rupert?
A friend of ours works with Rupert. Yes.
Oh. Ah, that's good. Okay. So, listen, for those of us who love Survivor and think Rupert's going to win the $1 million on Thursday, what do you think the odds are that you could pull that for the show?
You know, I read something this morning that he is the odds-on favorite in Vegas.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
What are the odds you can get him to call this show? Are the odds better that the Jenna that everybody hated and had to walk off the stage will win the $1 million, or that you'll get Rupert to call our show?
That is up in the air.
Oh, okay.
Up in the air.
Believe me, we're trying. We're trying.
Good.
All right, Michael. All right, thank you.
Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
Hey, listen. It's a man who's worn down, ladies and gentlemen.
Don't make promises you can't keep.
Not to us.
Say what you mean and mean what you say. Especially you send me an email. I can get you, Rupert.
You know us and promises, too.
Yeah, I got you, Rupert. The day after he's voted off the show.
You would do better telling a 3-year-old you were going to get them candy at the grocery store.
Do you know I had to stop myself from calling him at home on Sunday night when Rupert got voted off about 8:40.
Right.
I had to stop myself from picking up the phone, calling Michael Hughes and saying,
"He just got voted off.
Call him now."
You said,
Mom! I sent him an email Monday morning at 7 o'clock. Uh-huh. Mom!
He sounded so worn out. I think he thought it was going to be a lot worse than it really was.
Yeah.
That's
good, though.
But I do love, you know, for all executives now, we have that wonderful 70s VD song in store.
What is this note about? Now, what is it? Cameron says, Rob just wrote a note that I don't understand.
Okay, I'm sorry. I thought it would be relatively clear. It's for the phone game we're about to play, the Don't Call Me Michael or Don't Call Me Larry.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have to run the phone through the harmonizer because of the chance of people not knowing they're on the air, having their voice put on the air.
Forget it. They just ruined another great bit.
Yeah.
Forget it.
Oh, God.
Forget it. Just forget it. You know, I'm not, I'm not going to get mad about it. Forget it.
Yeah.
Just forget it. You want a clean show. You want a fun show.
Oh.
So here's what our program director of the week wrote. We have to run when the people are on the telephone at the fast food place.
Yes, we have to change their voice.
We have to put their voice through a harmonizer. You know, forget it.
No, we don't. No, we don't.
Why?
Because when you are on that little machine, that's a public machine.
What you mean
when you say welcome to so and so's?
Welcome back.
That's you're opening that public
loudspeaker.
You could make a very good case for that.
To McDonald's?
I would think.
Yeah, what's Cameron's phone number?
I mean,
since when does he make?
Right. I mean,
a guy standing across the street can hear it.
Yeah.
Since when does Cameron make decisions anyway?
A guy standing across the street could hear it.
Yeah. What's his phone number? What is it?
872.
Jeez.
You're speaking into a public address system.
Right. For goodness sakes.
Technically, he is speaking. When you're speaking into the clown's mouth, you are being communicated with. Don, I'm just trying to do, you know.
I know.
Just trying to give them a little of what they give us.
And I think you're right. And I'm sorry to stop the show with this, but they're stopping the show right now. And this is their great exit strategy, not to answer the phone.
Hi, this is Cameron Gray, Operations Director for 106.7 WJFK.
I think when you're speaking into one of those things, you're speaking into a PA system. They can be heard by the public. Yeah, makes sense to me.
Let me try another G.
And here comes Cameron. Cameron, I'm not playing like semantics here, but I think really when you
speak... What are you doing?
I said I'd feel more comfortable. It wasn't a deal breaker.
Okay. What do you think of that, though? I mean, so when you're speaking into one of those things, buzz is right. You can hear it across the street. You're speaking into kind of a public address system.
Listen, I do everything you guys did. The woman from Nokia today, I got her on the... I said, can we put your voice in? Please, can we put your voice in? You want to come on the radio? Come on. We're playing a game.
I just said I'd feel more comfortable.
We're playing a game.
I didn't say you couldn't do it.
Okay.
All right, we're doing it.
Then don't call Rob and tell him that stuff. Because Rob thinks you're the program director.
I know. Are you crazy?
Get out of here. Rob, are you nuts?
I am crazy.
You're ruining our fun. Hey, hold on. Cameron, would you come back for a second? I apologize. I shouldn't have lost my temper. I'm trying not to. Yes. Who are you again? Who are you? What's your name?
Cameron Gray.
That is now, and here's the deal. I believe that song should be reserved exclusively for Infinity Management. Nobody else. It shouldn't be. The joke will be ruined if it's used for anybody except Infinity Management. You know, the payoff you didn't get with Michael Hughes, you just got right there, because you got me, too.
Once again, what's your name?
Cameron Gray.
Cameron, we're just sitting here having fun.
Good.
We're just trying to.
Good. Because we're having a lot of fun for you got in here today. And stop calling Rob and bothering during the show.
Done.
Okay, get out of here.
Bye-bye.
And put the microphone back, please, so I can buzz.
God. That song. Where did we get that song? Thank you, Cameron.
That was from one of Joe's old movies.
Oh, wow. My God.
Okay, so.
You got me with that one. I'm trying not to lose my temper. It was our strategy. Reeling back in.
Here's the deal. We're going to play this game. We have to break for commercials now, though.
Okay.
When we come back, and we have people that are at these places, I apologize. We'll get to you first if you're on the line. When you pull up to the window, when you order something, you just say, I'll have a number one supersize at Larry.
We won't play the VD song for you, though.
No, we won't.
No.
And I checked in with the Hillbilly. The Hillbilly is out with Tommy Lasorda, and they don't know when he'll be in.
All right, we'll get him for tomorrow's show.
We shall.
And what's the guy's name again?
John Hobbs.
Get information or a pamphlet at most pharmacies or a health clinic. If you need help, see a doctor.
I'm sorry I got so mad, Cameron. What's your name again?
It's for everyone. You know, he didn't have headphones on. I don't know if he can hear it.
No. Who knows? He did. Well, he was either not enjoying it or I can't imagine why he wouldn't enjoy it.
Anyway, don't call me Larry.
Yeah.
Okay, don't call me Larry.
Hank Greenberg of the Detroit Tigers was a ball player to die for.
Yeah.
Oh, hold on.
Thank you, Larry.
Hold on. One more. Let me try this. If he says it. This is audible.
Hi, this is Larry King.
I guess you got to be here.
Oh, no, you have to be here.
Yeah. When we come back, we'll play Don't Call Me Larry, no matter what they say upstairs. We'll be right back. Keep calling.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Sorry, affiliates, we're late coming back from the break.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Let's take a call. Cape California. Hello.
Hi, Larry.
Hi.
Don Imus. How you doing today? Love your radio show. Can you tell me what happened to Don and Mike in New York City, if they're not on live anymore?
Are they back on? They were taken off for a while. Are they on or not on the air in New York, Don?
Don and Mike?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know whether they're on or not.
Oh.
Well, Don and Mike are on. They're on in Washington, right, Don and Mike?
I think that's where they originated from, yeah.
Well, yeah. Donna Mike.
Las Vegas, hello.
The Don and Mike Show. Pray for death.
Yeah.
The Don and Mike Show.
Okay, standing by now for Don't Call Me Larry. We'll give you 60 seconds. You get the person on the other end to say, Don't Call Me Larry.
Right.
You win $100. Did you know Michael Jackson and Neverland Ranch? He's hocked it. He's selling it.
Is he really?
Yes.
You're looking to move, aren't you?
He believes the magic died, the police raided. raided the Neverland Ranch. But the part about the story that caught my eye was, oh, yes, Michael Jackson.
And this you should not do. You should not say he's an animal. He's should not say he's Jacko. I'm not a Jacko.
So the magic died when they found the pictures.
Yes, and he says he will not go to prison because he's innocent. However, if he is looking like he's going to be guilty, he will flee the country forever with his brother Randy, or he will commit suicide.
Wow.
Now, wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't you love to see, I mean, not him fleeing the country. But, well, either one would be great. If it was Michael Jackson on the run.
So he's... That's strange. That is, well, he doesn't listen to his lawyers.
No, he absolutely does not. Let me see. I've got so many. I didn't have time to get to. Do we have a moment just to put our hands together for some brain juice love?
Okay.
For Charlie Pride.
Charlie Pride.
Charlie Pride.
Of course we do.
Who's got some kind of brain juice problem. Let's hear it for Charlie Pride.
Charlie Pride.
And he's your favorite country singer, isn't he, Rob?
Music has no color, Don.
There you go. And I'm trying to think of Charlie Pride's big hit, and I know he's got a couple of them, but I can't.
I'm the only black guy here.
That might be it. That might be it.
That's it.
What's the brain juice problem? Is there anything specific or what?
Hold on.
The brain juice issue?
Yeah, brain surgery.
It's brain juice.
So his brain juice is everywhere.
Right, wow. Brain juice.
It's
not good.
You got to keep that all inside.
You should try.
Charlie Rich that did, did you happen to see the most beautiful girl
behind
the
closed doors?
Oh, and also, real quick before we play the game, I don't know if you saw Glenn Campbell on TV or not.
I did not.
He was in court, you know, because he was on that crazy, like, drunk drive charge.
Great mugshot.
And he's all cleaned up.
Right.
He's got to go to the Hooskow for, yeah. I think, what is it, about 10 days or something like that? And,
right. Pleaded guilty to extreme drunk driving.
Yeah. And, boy.
One of the best. I think a better mugshot than even the Nick Nolte mugshot.
You know, Michael Jackson can learn a lesson from Glenn Campbell.
Mm-hmm.
I saw Glenn Campbell on court TV today go in. He got the nice button-down blue suit.
Right.
Stood in front of the judge, said, I'm Glenn Campbell. I know I made an awful mistake. Mm-hmm. And boom. Justice is done, and he's out of there.
He's gone.
No plans that he's going to commit suicide or go leave the country with Randy.
Right.
Glenn Campbell didn't have to sell his Neverland Ranch.
He doth protest too much.
And this you should not do. Do not call him Cambo. He is not a Cambo.
Mike, I know you like Outkast.
Mm-hmm.
And
my kids like Outkast.
I've mentioned the new song, Roses. Mm-hmm. Have you heard that
I
one yet?
I have not heard that one yet.
Anybody
I have the album, so I don't know. I mean,
if you have the album, it's the one that says... You think your ass doesn't smell, but your roses smell like poo-poo.
Oh, that's right. You mentioned that the other day.
Anyway, Andre 3000, this is in the newspaper today, is got a deal with Cartoon Network.
I'm trying to duplicate that look, incidentally. Andre 2000.
And when are you going to start?
I'm thinking when the fall comes, and I can't do that much sweating.
Hold on, with
the sweaters that he wears.
Hold on, before we get to Don't Call Me Larry, here is a brain juice update.
Oh, good.
And hello, Harold.
Yes.
Harold, what's the Charlie Pride brain juice song?
It is Kiss an Angel Good Morning.
Kiss an Angel Good Morning. And she'll be late at night.
Crossover, right? You played that?
Yeah, Kissing Angel Good Morning. I remember back in the day, you have to play that, and you have to go like a KCBQ. Don't be offended. It's a country song, but he's a Negro.
Yeah, is that what you had to say that?
No, he didn't have to
that's
say
a quite,
that.
That's quite a radio station.
What a joke. You won the WWE. Listen, you won a prize. What's your name?
Harold.
You've got the WWE prize pack. Pay-per-view, Judgment Day, Sunday, May 16th. That's courtesy of Cox, COX Cable System. Call now to order. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for the tip. And now let's play the game. Don't call me... Well, I'd like people to know how to spell the name.
You have to say
that's
that.
Important. Right.
Even food tastes better at ballparks. A hot dog at a game, steamed or grilled, just tastes better. Why is that?
I don't know, Larry.
Don't know, Larry.
No. Don't know, but all Larry. I know is don't call me Larry.
Right.
Here is Eric, who's been waiting for a long time. Eric, thank you. Where are you calling from, my friend?
I'm calling from Portland, Maine, Don and Mike, and I got a couple of big Maine heifers in front of me ordering up their Big Macs. It's been a long wait. It's a tough one to time. I got one little minivan in front of me, and then I'm ready to go.
Now listen, I cut you nothing but slack, burger, pun intended, because we said we were going to do this, and then we started talking about Rupert from Survivor and everything else. So the deal is when you get up to the window, just like don't call me Chief, You just say, hey, I'd like a Big Mac, Larry.
Does that come with anything, Larry?
Yeah.
How about the drinks, Larry? Mm-hmm. And, you know, you just see if you can get them to say, don't call me Larry.
What do you recommend, Larry? Oh, yeah, I'm all set. I can't wait.
All right, you got, Robbie, I'll need 60 seconds on the bid clock, please.
Hang in there about one more minute.
As we don't play.
One more minute.
Don't call me Larry.
Get the big Toyota in front. All right, we have movement. Here we go.
Okay, yeah,
I think I saw Lisa Remini with a big bag full of Big Macs before, too. Here we go, ready?
Lisa Remini. You guys never forget, do you?
They don't.
Even we've forgotten. Hello?
Hang on.
Okay.
Put the phone out the window.
We're playing Don't Call Me Larry.
Got it.
As soon as they say, here we go.
Yeah, Larry, how you doing? I'm still not quite sure what I want to get. What do you recommend, Larry?
Larry went to her
neighbor, Lori. I thought Larry worked here. Listen, I am Jewish. Do you have any Jewish delicacies? Like maybe the build-up there?
We got a comedian.
Sorry. You must take the game seriously.
Play the game by the rules.
You must play it seriously.
Please, no wagering.
Hello, Mike.
Yeah, Don.
Mike, hi, welcome to the show. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Oakdale, California.
Right on. Jack in the Box?
Sure.
It's got to be Jack in the Box or Carl's Jr. out in California. Okay, you ready, Mike?
Can you hold just one second? I'm about ready.
Okay, if you're ready, go.
I'm ready.
Don't call me Larry. Go.
Hey, I'm looking at ordering a number 6. Well, can you tell me what's on it, Larry?
What comes on the sandwich?
How about the fries? Now, can I get an extra large fry, Larry?
Larry?
Yeah? Does that come with an authentic Greek salad, Larry? Hello, Larry?
My name is not Larry.
What do you mean your name's not Larry?
This is working.
I'm sorry. I thought your name was Larry. Larry, no. On that, I'd like the authentic Greek salad with water, okay, Larry?
He's got 25
seconds. You want to add chicken to it?
No, thank you, Larry.
Still got 20 seconds.
Hello?
Dynamite.
Yeah, no, listen, you've still got 20 seconds. Keep going.
Oh, well, she said don't call me Larry.
No.
She did not. No.
Well, let me back up. Hold on.
We love you.
I'm backing up. Excuse me. Can I change that to that?
No.
Severe tire damage.
Just a little too eager.
Severe tire damage.
And played the game almost perfect.
Yeah. And he had the girl when she said, my name's not Larry.
Larry, you just keep calling her Larry.
You go in for the kill.
That's how you do it. Larry, what do you say, Larry?
Hello, Richard.
This is better.
Hey, Richard?
Yeah.
Don't hide from your feelings. Are you calling for the game?
No, I was calling about the Charlie Pride songs. He had another hit called Roll On Mississippi.
All right, well, Mississippi.
Do you remember that one, Mike?
I don't know.
It's a vague memory.
None of us remember it as a hit.
Dan. Hey, yeah. Dan. Dan the man, where you at, my friend?
Where's your classic action outlaws?
Welcome back.
Yes, but you know what? I'm encouraged by that one guy because he played it almost perfectly. My name is not Larry.
He almost...
Oh, that was close.
Yes,
almost had it. Okay, let's see who this is. I'll just take these calls blind. Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Hey, Donna Mike.
Hey, are you at a place?
Yeah, I'd like to order a chicken fat and matzo sandwich up at Mike's restaurant.
Look around, cafe.
Oh, man. Let's have a beer.
Are you at a fast food restaurant?
No, I'm just driving around drinking, man. This is fun.
That's always good. Just drive. What are you drinking? Caffeinated beverages, I hope.
I'm drinking some ice-cold Milwaukee's Best, my brother.
Uh-huh. Oh, man, that's great. And where would your exact location be?
Hang on. I'm smoking a fatty. Okay. I got to go, golden boy. Peace.
Bye-bye. That's good to know.
Isn't that nice?
What's wrong with people?
Right, I love people, Don.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Me too. Hello. Hello. What happened to that one?
Boy, that guy, I was so eager because that guy had so much potential.
Yeah. And the lady said, my name's not Larry.
Reset the telephones. Give me just one moment on this.
Don't call me Larry.
Is it just the atmosphere? I think that everything in a ball game is a little brighter, a little sharper, a little bit more in focus.
It's a magical break from the worries and cares of everyday life.
Wait a minute. There we... Hold on a minute.
There's some more of there's that. There's a lot more of that. Let me back
his thing up a second. Tastes better. Why is that?
Why is that?
It just the atmosphere? I think that everything at a ball game is a little brighter, a little sharper, a little bit more in focus. It's a magical break from the worries and cares of everyday life.
That's right.
Yeah, if we've discovered anything out of this, is that several times during this book on tape, he goes,
hello, Don and Mike's show.
Hey, Don and Mike, what's going on?
Are you at a fast food place?
I'm about to get up right now.
Right on. You'll be the last chance here. What's your name, my friend?
My name is Fernando.
Fernando.
Nando.
Nando, where are you calling from?
Sacramento, the city of love.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
Oh, dear.
Is it Jack in the Box, Carl's Jr.? What is it?
It's gonna be Burger King, and here I'm getting ready to go on. So hold on, just a second.
All right, go.
Hold on, wait, not yet.
All right, now listen, Chewy. As soon as you pull up, remember, the last guy almost had it right when he kept saying, "What do you think about that, Larry? Do you think that's good, Larry?"
And even if they say my name's not Larry, just keep with the Larry until they say, "Don't call me Larry."
And remember,
I guarantee it.
You're playing for $100 now.
I'm right behind. Just one more car.
One more car.
Tastes better. Why is that? Is it just the atmosphere? I think that everything at a ball game is a little brighter, a little sharper, a little bit more in focus. It's a magical break from the worries and cares of everyday life.
The worries and cares.
Everything's a little sharper except my phlegmy voice.
The worries and cares. This is Larry King.
Hey, this old lady's almost done. I can tell she's almost done.
How can you tell she's almost done?
Because she's kind of talking to her passenger and kind of wondering what the heck she's going to order.
Okay.
Chapter 4. As a Jew, I always root for the Jewish baseball player.
Thank you, Larry.
I think everyone instinctively does this. Blacks tend to root harder for the black players. The Irish Catholics usually root harder for other Irish Catholics.
Sure, you're right, Larry. Are you there yet?
Next. Almost.
And you're positive you're going to win at this game?
I'm positive.
Why are you so positive? I like your positive attitude.
Apparently, my crap detector is out on this
mine
guy.
Too.
Big time.
No crap, Mike. I guarantee it.
No. The fact that you're guaranteeing it is what's making my crap detector
Mike,
go out.
Could simply be.
I'm going to keep calling her Larry until she gets pissed off, he or she, whatever it is.
It could be his positive attitude. I'll also tell you, though, you can't overdo it. Like, say, hey, Larry, I like your hamburger. Larry, what's happening, Larry? Tell me what's good, Larry. I mean, it has to happen naturally.
Right.
Okay, here it comes.
$100 okay. Bill. Here we go. Don't call me Larry. We'll start the clock.
Hey, I want to, let me see. How about a number 5 there, Larry?
Hold the phone out the window.
I number 5 there, Larry.
What time is it?
You got a Dr. Pepper there, Larry?
Yeah, we do.
Okay, I don't want a Coke there, Larry.
Don't mumble your words.
No, actually, make that a Sprite there, Larry.
No. Don't mumble your words. He's got 30 seconds. He could still pull it out. Say, hey, Larry, what do you recommend?
Hey, Larry, what do you recommend?
I like Coke.
You like Coke, Larry?
Yeah, I do.
I don't like Coke, Larry.
Say, hey, Larry, how long you been working here?
Hey, Larry, how long you been working here?
About 2 months,
Larry?
How do you like it, Larry?
How do you like it, Larry?
It's great.
Hey, Larry, do you have the time?
Hey, Larry, do you have the time?
3 o'clock.
3 o'clock, Larry?
She's just having fun.
Yeah.
She was just having fun
with
mine.
Are you having fun there, Larry?
No, your time has expired,
Joey.
Your
time is up.
Oh, man.
But yeah. You guaranteed it.
I guess I'm not in it, Larry.
What did he say?
I just got that order, Larry.
Cancel that order.
That's funny.
That is funny.
Cancel that order.
I tried.
You did try, sir. Yeah. And I'm sorry for that crap detector. I believe you now.
You did try. That's what they say at the Special Olympics, too. Remember that.
Absolutely.
At least you tried.
Captain, that order.
It's Sacramento, guys. It's Sacramento. No kidding.
No kidding. All right, dude. Oh, the Kings are on tonight, aren't they?
Nah, they're on tomorrow.
Who's on tonight? I thought Sacramento's on tonight against Minnesota.
When's game 18?
The rapist and the fat cow.
Oh, it's Kobe Bryant tonight. And you know, I sadly...
Cheating up out on the West Coast.
Man. I understand the code.
I got to that order.
the rapist and the fat cow. All right, goodbye, Sacramento.
Oh, hold on, wait. I'm not going to the window. I'm going to stay out. I mean, hold on.
You're what? No, you're done.
I'm at the win. Hey.
What are you
doing? Hey, ma'am.
What are you doing now?
I'm going to pass by because that car passed by. And I said, hello, Larry. Hey, Larry.
He's still doing it.
No, you know where he is now. You're at the real window now.
I'm at the real window. Hey, Larry. Hey, Larry.
All right. I'll give you a prize. You get her to say it now when you're at the window.
Hey, how you doing, Larry? What's your name, Larry?
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.
You're getting
ready. He loves the game.
That is great.
That's pretty good.
Oh. That's pretty good. You might have to get a prize after all.
Wow.
My friend.
Bye.
You got so you were actually pulling up and looking at her in the face, and you said, what's your name?
What's your name, Larry?
Larry.
I did.
Yeah, you did. Okay. You got the WWE prize back and Judgment Day pay-per-view in your home on May 16th. Call your local Comcast or Cox, you spell that COX, cable system now to order. Enjoy that pay-per-view. Thank you. You know, you saved that.
I love you guys.
We love you. Thank you. You saved that for us.
Good job, sir.
Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
Hold on. Go Kings. And now let's go to Buzz.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
There it is, Buzz.
I tried.
He made it up.
You got to admit, and now Mike, say this on the record.
Yes.
Sacramento saved that.
That, the caller from Sacramento
saved it. Come on,
you
saved
can do it.
Saved it, say it.
Saved it.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah.
So many defeats for me today.
What is this? Minnesota versus Sacramento. Sacramento, Minnesota, Minnesota. Next game Wednesday. Now why is the game Wednesday? Why don't we kind of wait till tomorrow?
I don't know, Larry.
To avoid momentum.
Tonight, 10:30. Ay, ay, ay.
Convenient.
You know, that's not convenient for those of us on the East Coast.
Not at all.
I know that the Lakers...
I think you should maybe make an arrangement with them so that they can, you know, convenience us and play the games at 2 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. I know the Lakers and San Antonio are both based on the West Coast, but do you understand when you start the game at 8:30 or 7:30 out there, it's 10:30 out here in the real world?
I think they're aware of that.
I can't stay up late and I have to watch that.
Think of all those people in the stadiums that would be inconvenienced.
For God's sake, they live there. They won't be inconvenienced. It's only the people on the East Coast,
right.
On the important coast that matter.
I got to leave work early again. We're playing at dawn's time.
Don't call me Larry.
Hank Greenberg of the Detroit Tigers was a ball player to die for.
Buzz, what's your lead story today on the news and comments?
Sadly, I have ugly, unavoidable breaking news today. Al-Qaeda exacts its first revenge for the U.S. abuse of Iraqi prisoners.
Ay, ay, ay. All right, that's why it's called the news.
Stay tuned for news and comments coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
I guarantee a lot of the comments are going to be, what are we doing in Iraq still?
Yep.
Yeah, here's the exit strategy. Get the Partridge family's bus over there, get all our guys and girls, and get your asses back home.
Have to be an amphibious bus.
Okay, whatever.
You know me in the details.
James Bond had one of those deals.
Yeah, you could make it happen.
One of those cars you could drive into the water.
I could fix it.
We need those.
I seen it in another movie, too. Maybe Cody Banks. I seen it in Cody Banks.
No problem at all. And maybe you could put wingeds on it, too. Why are we playing that? Cameron's done in the studio.
I don't know. Did we already play the Buzz thing?
Yeah, you played it.
We already played. Why'd you put that back in?
Because you had put it in. I didn't know if you had an
email. Oh, no. I just wanted to say hi to everybody.
You know, and it's just a pretty song to listen to.
We already played the close to the news?
Yep.
Oh, then all I have to say is my Cameron Gray, who has BD, which is Cameron Gray. Cameron Gray's BD is very
professional.
Didn't know we closed it.
Is the Don and Mike Show. Is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
World-class dancers, Don and Mike.
Now, tonight's not the last treasure, right? Because American Idol's on.
Right. He'll be on Thursday.
Thursday. Okay. Then tomorrow we'll have time. I really got to read you this interview with Kelsey Grammer.
Is Kelsey taking a big, long dip in Lake Mead?
She's swimming. He's not using a mat. He's just laying on his back with his belly in the lake. For instance, did you know he's such a stud, he has to have another kid.
Right.
But
she's pregnant with another kid.
His wife, Camille, can't have kids because she has IBS.
Yes. Right, irritable bowel syndrome.
Correct. Mm-hmm. So they take some of her stuff and they take some of his stuff and they put it in somebody else.
Oh, I see.
So that's what they're doing.
Hello, I'm Kelsey.
Hi.
And I'm Camille.
For years, my wife has suffered from a medical condition.
It's called IBS, irritable bowel syndrome.
Here's my wife. Kelsey Grammer.
Yes.
What else did he say? It was something. I'll read you the whole thing tomorrow. One of the quotes was something like, "Yes, I want to do Frasier 3, but only if there's no way that Lilith is involved."
Oh, really?
And
what is he slamming Bebe Neuwirth?
Yeah, I don't know what he's got against her. I mean, I like the chemistry those two have.
They're hysterical. I mean, that's what built that character was their relationship.
Anyway,
he's nice that he's forgotten that.
He's full of them. So I'm listening. That's what he says.
I'm listening. Hello, Seattle.
I'm listening. Buzz brought to you tonight by Viramax, the world's number one sexual pleasure performance enhancer.
Can you call for a doctor?
Number one because it really works. Doctor developed, clinically tested, patented. Viramax. Get it at retailers nationwide. 1-888 try. VMAX. All right, we'll do the Frasier thing tomorrow, and we'll get to the second disc of Larry King tomorrow. Now it's time for Buzz in the news.
Not looking forward to this based on his tease.
But real news, let's go with. What do you got, Buzz?
A young American civilian has been beheaded in Iraq, and the killing is featured on an Islamic website. The website says he was beheaded by the Al-Qaeda leader in Iraq, one of Osama bin Laden's boys, as the first bit of revenge for America's, quote, satanic degradation of Iraqi prisoners. After one of the masked men in the pictures reads a statement, the group pushes the bound American to the floor, cuts off his head, and holds it up for the camera. A sanitized version of the tape has aired on TV. The young man's family says it extends its sympathy to other families who have also suffered.
I am obviously not an Al-Qaeda sympathizer. They're bad. They're evil. We know that. Cutting off someone's head is brutal. But really, what we did to their prisoners, in many cases...
And that we have yet to... To know the extent of the brutality.
And I'm watching these guys on TV
today. This is what, incidentally, when you read about what we've done over there, endangering the lives of other Americans, this is the type of stuff
they're talking about.
And, you know, nothing is...
So I'm watching,
nothing's justified.
I'm watching today. They've got the generals in front of the Congress.
The main general who wrote the report, right?
Right. And basically what he did was say... It was at a higher level. It was a certain level where people knew that this was going on, and beyond that level, nobody knew, which coincidentally means this guy didn't know, his boss didn't know, Rumsfeld didn't know. They spend hours talking about this, and I don't know who it was, a Democrat from Minnesota, finally said to this guy, hey, listen, not only did we put these Iraqis in sexual positions, and I'm going to use the word now, so don't delete me out, because I'm going to say what they said in Congress today, that our guys and gals that participated in this made these pretend to have sex with each other. Mm-hmm. They raped women. They beat men senseless. In this roundtable discussion today, John Warner, who's the head of all this, mm-hmm. says, well, I still got to meet with the Pentagon because... Frankly, we're concerned about any more photos or any more video getting out. We're going to talk about it.
John McCain said on the Today Show today, and I agree with him, this will be leaked no matter what.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. The disclosure policy has to be 100%
Thank God for the press, because really, if the press hadn't found this, and I know the story was out there, but the military had buried it since October. If somebody hadn't gotten those pictures,
right.
You can bet your sweet ass that we would not have a clue what was going on over there. And now our guys are getting their heads caught off because of this. Hey, Bush, seriously, I don't care if you win the election or not. Get us the hell out of this war. Can anybody tell me, Siri, even you Rush Limbaugh idiots out there, call now. Give me a good reason why Americans are dying in Iraq. Really, give me a good reason. What, because the planes hit the Twin Towers?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're going after the bad guys. Why are we still in Iraq?
Right.
Why are we there? I need to know exactly why we're there.
I don't have an answer.
Then I'll shut up about this.
Sure.
Then I'll shut up about it. Because otherwise, the exit strategy, like I've been saying, should be just put everybody on a boat, on a plane, get everybody the hell out of there. Really, does anybody care? We've set Iraq up. We took the bad guy out. I read today we're going to give Saddam Hussein back to them before June 30th.
Mm-hmm.
So mission accomplished, right? They got electricity 16 hours out of the day. We're going to try to put in a democratic system. We're going to give them back Saddam Hussein. That's great. Let's wash our hands of it.
Yeah,
why are we there?
President said mission accomplished a year ago.
Okay, here's a Limbaugh idiot as self-described Mike.
Yeah, hey,
Mike, it's a simple question with a simple answer. Why are we in Iraq?
Hey, Don, do you see?
Hey, no, answer the question. Yell at me later.
Do you realize that Al-Qaeda's there?
Al-Qaeda's all over the world.
They're everywhere.
Yeah, they're here.
Why are we in Iraq? Don't say Al-Qaeda's there because Al-Qaeda's in London. Al-Qaeda's in New York. Al-Qaeda's in Mexico City. Al-Qaeda's in Spain. Al-Qaeda's everywhere. Why are we in Iraq?
And I will add to that what concerns me is the money that's being spent in Iraq right now. I'd like to see that money directed towards surgical strikes on these Al-Qaeda operatives and beefing up our intelligence and our intelligence gathering so that we could go over and get these guys wherever they are in the world. And it worries me that with these billions of dollars and millions of dollars each day that we are spending on this war in Iraq, those resources could go towards A, Homeland Security, and B, tracking down these Al-Qaeda operatives.
Do you realize that if we pulled out right now, that would become the number one training ground for Al-Qaeda?
You know what I say?
Do
you understand that? Okay. Do you understand this? BFD. Do you understand that there are...
First of all, I don't believe it would.
Do you understand that there are American men and women that are over there being killed every... Let's not even talk about the prison stuff that we're guilty of. That's their job. Give me a good... solid reason the United States is firmly entrenched in Iraq with no sign of leaving. Just give me one solid reason.
We have to finish what we started.
Who started it?
Is it finishable?
Yes, it's finishable.
How do you finish it? You give me the exit strategy.
How long?
We have to stabilize the place with a stabilized government. So that they can run themselves.
Why do we have 10 years, 20 years? Listen, why do we have to do that? Why do we have to make sure that the rest of the world does things our way, the right way? Why can't there's plenty of other spots in the world that are just as screwed up.
There is a school of thought that says that being over there and pulling out will be more devastating to the United States than it will be that we're in it. And that we need to, but I don't see an end.
That's the first intelligent thing I've heard.
No, wait a minute, but I don't see an end. Hold on a second. I don't see an end. You didn't let me finish. I don't see an end to this. The comparisons to Vietnam, which many people laughed at early in this conflict, are now legitimate comparisons that we're in an unwinnable situation. And like Vietnam, at the end of the day, when our guys are getting killed all the time, we're just going to have to probably pull out of this thing.
Do a day on average.
Hey, dude, really? Come on.
Yeah.
Do you really care what goes on in Iraq? I mean, we can have a fight against terror because Al-Qaeda's everywhere. But why are Americans losing their lives every day in Iraq?
And, you know, we are in that country right now. A pullout of troops out of that country would not be a full-scale pullout. But I think that you either have to go... all the way with
it's
this,
like,
you know what it is. You leave a base there, and then we got, you know, it's not as though pulling out at this stage of the game would be something where we would not have any presence at all, and they'd be able to get Al-Qaeda bases.
Stick to the comedy, guys.
Stick to the comedy. Hey, stick to the facts.
Stick to the facts.
Is that your bailout now? Is that what you're doing?
Because you're losing the argument. Because you're losing the argument. No, I tell you what's more important than comedy. What's more important than comedy is a president who wants us to forget about everything else that's going wrong in this country. And incidentally, have you noticed that since this stuff about the prisoners in Iraq has come up, nobody's talking about the FCC anymore?
Mm-hmm.
Have you noticed how all of a sudden it shifted? And you mark my words, it ain't going to shift back now. Because now the Americans are realizing what's important. Mm-hmm. It's not important to see Janet Jackson's breasts on TV. It's not important if Howard Stern says things on the radio. What's important is our guys are dying over there. And dummies like you who get spoon-fed this crap from guys like Rush Limbaugh, Christ, You sicken me. You really do.
You know what? You probably got slapped around the school and then ran and didn't stand up for yourself.
Oh, so you're thinking...
What does that have to do with this discussion?
Let me ask you a question. Did you serve the country?
Oh, one of our people got decapitated. Let's turn around and run.
Listen, I've been saying that. You didn't answer my question. Do you serve the country?
Let's not stand up for ourselves,
We said it before the beheading.
So you were saying... So the beheading and what we did. You're saying that these abuses that we took place in the prisons are legitimate?
Yeah, who cares? This is war.
Who cares? There you go.
You're an idiot. This is war.
But you know what? In the United States, the standards that we set for our military and for our government and for our people and the reason we're Americans is because we don't do that kind of thing.
And, dude, don't you get when we're going over there, we're going into a foreign country that we were not invited to say we're going to take out the bad guy that's been ruining your life and we're going to show you how to do things.
I got news for you, man. This is the American way.
This is not a large planet anymore.
This is a small planet, and I'm so mad right now at this guy.
I'm trying
to keep it together, but the fact of the matter is, the generals and your leaders, I believe in what they say when they say we are held to a higher standard in the world. And if you haven't checked lately, it's not just the United States, okay? There are many other countries that we don't have the greatest reputation in this world anymore. And I think when you see those photographs, we have to hold ourselves and our military and everybody to a higher standard.
So we're going in.
Hey, it's war. That justifies that. That's what the Gestapo said in World War II.
And we're going in and we're saying we're better than you because we know how to do things correctly. And then we go there and all we do is screw it up. We got our guys getting killed. If you think for a second
that this stuff that happened in these prisons and these photographs, that we can take this lightly, you are sorely, sorely mistaken.
That's not war.
Because really, as we proved in the first Gulf conflict, what you have to do in these situations is build coalitions. World opinion does matter. I know you get spoon-fed that stuff from Limbaugh and everybody else and said it really doesn't matter, but it does matter.
We've got to live with that.
Dude, I don't like saying this because I don't believe in polls, but just ask anybody that's not in your Rush Limbaugh club. Go out on the street and just ask anybody. Do you know why we're in Iraq? I mean, maybe that's part of the problem of your president. I know why we were told
we were in Iraq. We were told we were going into Iraq because they had weapons of mass destruction that were an imminent threat to the United States
and
national security. That's why we were told.
And then after we found out that it wasn't anything, we said,
then
well,
we were going over there because,
Saddam Hussein.
You know what we said? We said after that fact, we said, well, we're going over there because we're relieving the Iraqis of these horrible abuses that Saddam Hussein has perpetrated on the Iraqi people.
And now we're doing it.
I mean, come on.
And now we're doing it.
But we're doing it to terrorists. He was doing it to...
No, 90%.
How do you know?
In fact, it's probably greater than that, but 90% of people that were incarcerated when we went in there were incarcerated unjustly.
They're civilians, dude.
Those prisoners weren't now. They were already freed. All the ones that were there...
And you know this how. You know
already
this how.
Freed.
You know this how.
There have been...
You guys obviously don't follow the news.
Well, hold on.
I watch
more than the Fox News Channel. I watch CNN, too.
What I'm saying is you got 90% of these people that were unjustly in prison.
Yeah.
They have been... A vast majority of them have been released. A lot of these stories are not just photographs. They're believed now because of the photographs. But these are people that are telling these stories of the abuses that went on. And we have photographic evidence.
Regardless of what happened in the prisons, I'm still asking the question, give me one good reason we are still in Iraq with our guys and gals getting killed every day. And I'm talking about the stuff where you hear on the news, 10 more Marines were killed today in a car bomb. Why are we there?
In the first place or now?
Right now, today, May 11th, why are we there?
Because of what we started, we have to finish.
So even if it's wrong, we have to finish it.
We have to stabilize the place. We can't leave it
unstable.
Why?
How long will that take? Will you call us back in 5 years when tens of thousands of Americans have died there?
Hey, the president said it was going to take a long time.
Hey, I got news for you, dude. He's not going to be the president in November. So enjoy your power trip now.
I'll put a bet on that right now.
Here's the bet.
It's not even going to be close, Don.
Here's the bet.
Yes, it is.
If Bush wins in November, I'm not going to bet with you. You're an idiot.
No, the fact is,
I only pray in your next life that you come back as an innocent person in a country like Iraq And what they did, they do to you. And then we'll see how you feel.
You know, I everybody's been in a conversation where they've said after, especially after 9/11, man, and you've heard it and I've heard it, and people say it and they don't say it seriously. They say it, but they say it angrily. They said, yeah, I wish we could drop a warhead over there and just eliminate everybody. But the fact is, you can't do that. You can't do that because we're human beings. That's not the way things work. And the fact is also that you can't go over there and pound people and pound people and pound people until they're one day going to raise their hands and say, hey, we accept it. It doesn't work like that in the world anymore. Nope. It really, really
does. And isn't there a part of you, just a human part of you, that if you can get past all this macho BS, we're in war, and incidentally, we're not in war. You and I aren't in war. We're talking on the radio about it. The real people in war are over there. Can you just get for 1 second down to the human part where you got to say, there are real Americans that are dying over there every day. Why? Give me a good compelling reason, and I'll shut the hell up.
And it's tough to find that compelling reason. Really.
Well, let me ask you one question before I hang up. I want to ask you, if we pull out, are you guys concerned at all about another 9/11 happening?
No, listen, here's the thing. I'm concerned about 9/11 happening every day.
Everybody is.
For the rest of my life. If you think we go over there and we win a war in Iraq, that Al-Qaeda and terrorists are going to go away, you're stupider than you sound right now. Because they're not all in Iraq. They're not all hiding under a rock over there. No pun intended.
This is political, and our leaders send our guys over there to die in conflicts, and they have to be held accountable for that. And really, world opinion does matter. And there has to be a time with the attitude that this administration has where we really start to realize that we have to win hearts and minds as well as just carrying the big stick, because it's not going to work always with the big stick. Do we need it? Yes, of course. We always need it. You're always going to need to have the big stick. But the fact is, at the end of the day, we have to get the world on our side for some of these situations.
And you know why we're
unless we want to put the big wall up and live like that.
And you know why we're taking the time? You know why we're taking the time? Because there's 8,000 shows with idiots like Rush Limbaugh with your point of view. You know who's given our point of view? Al Franken.
Yeah.
And he's on three radio stations that you can't even hear.
I agree. And I appreciate you guys letting me have the opportunity.
No, thank you very much. That's cool. Fine.
All right.
No,
you're cool. You're wrong, but you're cool.
Call back in 5 years. Yeah, you know what? And we do, and really, and I'm glad somebody is saying this, and somebody has to say it occasionally, really. It's a sad situation.
Get us the hell out of this thing. Just, you know, who cares if we lose face anywhere? We're America. We're the greatest nation.
And you know, another thing, really, I don't draw a parallel between what happened in the prisons and what happened to this guy today. I really don't. They might use it, but you know what? The people that do that and have that mindset and that kind of scum, they're going to find a reason to kill people anyway.
Exactly.
But, man, I am so mad at the people that were responsible for this. And I'm mad because, you know, God damn, do we look like. It just makes us look, in the eyes of the Arab world, in the eyes of the world at large, it hurts our cause so much.
Listen,
it really does.
And we may never repair that.
Listen, I don't know. Who knows?
I'm in America. I'm looking at this now, and I'm thinking, if I'm in another country, hell, I'm in America, I think this. Why are we there? Why every time that something happens, why do we got to go jumping in?
You know, I always thought, really, growing up, I really thought, we're the guys that go over there. We're the guys that liberated the concentration camps. We're the people that did it. We're the Americans. We're the people that help other people out. I mean, I really have thought that way. And you know what? Somewhere along the line, it happened with 9/11 when we were attacked.
There's lots of guys now who think it's a video game now. Who think, it's war. It's war. You know, raw is war. We got to finish what we started.
Yeah.
I tell you what. Let's see, that guy who just called, let's see how strongly you feel if you have a son, a daughter, a cousin, a nephew, whatever, who gets shipped over there, and he's the one that gets blown up in a car bomb. Let's see if you feel that strongly that it's still, well, we got to finish what we started.
You know, he's talking, I just want to say one more thing about this. You're talking about these Al-Qaeda members that are over there. They'll set up their base camps. And you're talking about the mindset that I think a lot of people still have in this country, which is incorrect, that these people that we put in these prisons were all Al-Qaeda members. Well, that's just not the truth. And anybody that's documented this and everything that's been written about this, this is not the truth. These people that were in prison, the vast majority of them, have nothing to do with Al-Qaeda. And it was a time where I think we were thinking that, hey, if you're an Iraqi citizen, you're somehow tied to this. And that's when this stuff went down.
Listen,
and it speaks also to just getting this whole thing narrowing our focus. so we can beef up our intelligence, pour the money into this type of thing, technology, what have you, whatever we have to do to get the bad guys, to focus in, to zero in on the bad guys, and not to go steamrolling into a country where we're alienating the entire country, and we're alienating the whole Arab world against us, because in the long run, that's going to cause more trouble than that's what I believe.
And
I
mean, you're alienating regular Americans like me, who I just watched the news and see them mentioned as the third, you know, the first story will be, hey, Boston Rob proposed to Amber. The second story is gas is over $2 a gallon. Oh, yeah, 14 Marines killed today. Hey, dudes, you know what this reminds me of? 1969, I was 11 years old, and don't think I don't remember because my Uncle Jerry went to Vietnam, and don't think that every day we didn't sit around and watch goddamn Walter Cronkite talk about the list of guys that had been killed again. It just tastes the same.
And you know what? If you think that it's not being patriotic by reading a name of somebody that was killed over there, I think it is patriotic. I don't think, regardless of the way you feel about this war, I think you honor those guys that have given their lives for the country when you read their names. And I think the vast majority of their family members would feel the same way. And, you know,
I just don't get why we're there. I don't get why we're there.
And we have a reason why we went there.
Yeah,
we don't have a reason why we're there.
Why we're still there.
Yeah.
Still, anyway, Buzz?
Yes.
Hi,
and you know
hi.
What, really?
Let
I mean, the only... I just want to say one more thing. The only reason we say this is because what that guy said. That's what I've heard.
Mm-hmm.
It'll look bad.
Yeah.
I mean, and you know, that's the oversimplification.
So you're talking about people's lives for what? For the image of the United States?
Which is not real good
for
right
our
now,
image,
anyway.
Like for our spin doctors with our PR? Go, hey, okay, let's say we're going to weigh this out. Well, we've got 100 more guys that might die, but we might look bad. Oh, okay, screw it. There are 100 people. Screw it.
Can't
screw
look
it.
Much worse.
Screw it.
26-year-old Nick Berg of Philadelphia is the young man who I was talking about, and let me just reread that last line. The young man's family says it extends its sympathy to other families who have also suffered. Pretty unselfish of them
at
this time.
Yeah, and you know what? I don't think they're directing that to anybody.
No,
you know,
they
anybody,
mean that.
They're directing that to the world. That's the way it sounds like that to me.
Yeah.
And, you know,
so somebody just explained that to me. You know, someone explained it to me in regular play, not Bill O'Reilly, not Rush Limbaugh. Mm-hmm. Somebody just tell me in regular old, good old-fashioned American why we're there. Why are we there? And if you can give me a compelling reason, send it to me. And maybe I'll read it and change my mind. But I can't figure it out. I really can't. It stinks. It just sucks. It really does. And there's so many other things in this country going on right now. You know, what's the next diversion we're going to come up with now? That's my question.
Oh, there'll be something.
That's my question.
It's going to have to be big.
Because now we got to have a big one. Because trust me, these photos and these videotapes are going to get out, and Americans are going to be real upset, and we're going to forget all about the FCC, we're going to forget all about J-Lo and Ben Affleck, and we're just going to be every day, we're just going to be one nation going, what's going on?
You know,
what's going on?
The terrorists, as everybody said, are out to destroy our way of life, and unfortunately what's happening with this scandal right now is... That's hurting our way of life.
And you know what would help us? You've said last thing. I'll say last thing. What would help us? Strong leadership. Starts at the top. Starts at the top with Mr. I can't say I was wrong. I can't say I was sorry. Rumsfeld's under fire. So I got to be a big swinging Cheney, and I got to go over to the Pentagon to tell him that he's doing a great job. All of this is to save face. God damn. God damn. Really? I almost sound like that guy in Pulp Fiction. That's Chris Walker. Damn.
I'll be damned.
I'll be damned.
Oh, wow.
Buzz?
Yes. Where'd the time go?
I don't know. We got a break.
Worthwhile.
When we come back, it'll be very very brief when we come back.
Very brief. But, you know.
Like Larry King with his first wife. Okay. Hey, do a comedy show, man.
Come on, man.
Do a comedy. We tried.
Mm-hmm. Hey, we did a three-hour comedy
show. We tried doing a comedy show until Buzz told us an American got his head cut off today.
Yeah, that kind of got us.
So we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show. They are the Dean's Peanut.
Right.
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
That's why doing our show is so much harder than doing a political show.
True. Mm-hmm.
A political show would be easy. Because we're right. I mean, that's the point that makes the most sense.
Sure.
So refreshing. Anyway, there's 8,000 other dumb shows where you can argue that. But I don't think there's a lot of shows where you hear the arguments that Mike and I were
making. No, you don't. I mean, don't. True. I mean, when you're talking about pure numbers, you don't. Are there people saying what we're saying? Yeah.
Yeah.
Al Franken's on how many stations?
Right.
And it's and you know what? With all due respect, it's Al Franken.
Right.
Okay.
Anybody see 60 Minutes on Sunday too? Yuck.
Yeah.
Did you see this? It was a piece on Al Franken. And God, why is it they hold him up as the poster boy for this side?
I hate that. I mean, really, you know, that's my politics. I've had those politics as long as I've been on this planet.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? It really kills me.
And he's crying.
It's Al Franken.
You know,
really?
Well, he's crying because he's upset. He's trying to show his human side. Yeah. I don't think there is a human side to Al Franken. I really don't.
But see, that's why, you know. That's why we have this side, because really they've always said that the right they come from a unified front, man. I mean, send the troops in, spoon feed them, but you know, we on this side, we all eat each other up, like when we say we hate Al Franken, which we do. But that's the way the Democratic Party is too. You know, everybody chews everybody else up.
He's a dope. Hey, any of you ditto heads out there, would you ever have the nuts to say Rush Limbaugh's a dope?
No.
Gotta believe. Wilbaugh.
Come on. Keep an open mind. Question authority. Mm-hmm. There are my politics.
There you go.
Very
Amen.
Good.
Amen. Thank you, Forrest Gump.
Thank you, Don.
I know. Forrest Gump thought up F happens. I'm
right.
Sorry.
Question authority is one of my favorite bumper stickers. I've always enjoyed
mine
it.
Too.
And here's and Buzz Against the War as well.
Very much so.
What do you think of that, man?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
How about you, Rob?
Against the War.
Against the War. Good man. Still going to vote for Bush?
Don't know yet.
Hey, how about that?
Listen to that.
How about that? Listen to that. That's the darkest part in the world.
He'll he'll vote for Kerry if you move in next door to him.
If I thought his vote was swinging, I'd do it. But man,
it might just.
I'm gonna have to move next door to an awful lot of people. I think. Really.
In sports, NASCAR has pretty much replaced the NBA as one of America's top-rated TV sports.
That's right.
Since NASCAR moved from NBC to Fox, the audiences each week have been more than double what the NBA is getting.
Absolutely.
Boogity, boogity, boogity. And let's get ready to run, boys.
Especially during the playoffs. Quoting a Fox executive, NASCAR's a television game. The cars are bright, marked with easily identifiable logos.
Bright colors, Rob.
People love it.
Just like Jay Leno. And also, here's the deal with NASCAR.
And incidentally, this is Rob and his friend Brad.
You know when NASCAR's on.
Right.
It's like football. It's on Sunday. The NBA playoffs, good luck finding. And last night, there was a game on last night.
Al Franken loves NASCAR.
There was a game on last night, New Jersey and Miami.
Right.
You can't pay me to watch that game.
Right.
You know what I want to see? I want to see the Lakers versus the Spurs. I want to see the Kings versus the Timberwolves.
What's it, New Jersey and Miami?
Yeah,
but what if New Jersey and Miami had NFL teams?
Hey!
You'd be watching it then, wouldn't you, Allie?
And they do.
They do.
And I would. It would be the Giants against...
It's the New York Giants.
They play in New Jersey.
Oh, I hate that argument.
Kobe Bryant pleaded not guilty as expected today. And finally, sure, it's fun to get drunk and stuff yourself into a shopping cart and go for the ride of your life and... Until the cart rolls into a ditch and no one finds you until after you've developed hypothermia.
Oh, no.
It happened to a 52-year-old Canadian whose condition is reported as stable.
Bacardi Limon.
If you can call stuffing yourself into a shopping cart stable.
Stable.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
I'll meet you at the stable.
Yeah.
That's it. We got to go.
Wow. What an end to the show.
Yeah. We got
to
go. We'll see you tomorrow with the new episode. Good day to you, sir.
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 You, neighbor.
What time for the stable?
You prime the horses.
I will.
I'm there.
Okay.
Keep your mind open. Keep eating.
Till we meet again. Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.
This is the Don and Mike Show.